Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the sixth day of October, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. Excuse me. The agenda for today's call is Civil War II is nearly here, and we're taking the definition of civil in this case as a war between factions in the same country. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Embeth. Callers will be welcome later on in the program. We do want to remind you, we have a new software package that we were forced into by free conference call, and it's quite a bit different than our old desktop. So bear with us as we go through this learning curve on the new software. We are in the question and answer mode, which means as people log in, they will be automatically muted unless they hit star 6 on their phone, or if they're on a computer, hit the ask question button, which will flag me to unmute you and find out what you'd like to say. This is a joint effort, so please feel free to call in at any time or to ask questions, etc. It is always in an open forum format. However, that does have a caveat that comes with it in that we expect you to be civil, both in your language and your demeanor. Psalm 119, 165, those who love your law have great peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. Amen. We got a lot of people in a lot of trouble. I hear from folks on a daily basis on this issue. And folks, the solace that we have at this time is in our Heavenly Father, both by our prayers and the administering of the Holy Spirit and by the study of His scriptures. But you have to be very careful of the lying pen of the scribes, as we were warned by the prophets. Over thousands of years, it was very easy. Sometimes it's unintentional mistakes are made, but other times it's intentional. So, also want to remind you, our website, we're updating it almost on a daily basis, PastorDan.net, and that's all together, PastorDan.net. Adding pages, adding information, again, almost on a daily basis, research material, archives of programs, master list of all programs going back to 1999, any kind of good article put out by people like John Kaminsky and others. So the awakening is in full swing, so please try to stop in. Censorship is at an all-time high, both in the area of email and on websites, especially things like YouTube and Google and Yahoo. A lot of censorship. Evidence, of course, that this is a Bolshevik insurgency that is going on in our country. And it's also waking up a lot of people. So the old saying, when your enemy is making a mistake, don't interfere. I know it bothers our people, and it should. I mean, anybody with a good conscience should be upset with what's going on. However, it's your enemy making a mistake. If they had stayed in the mode of making the small, almost imperceptible changes, which is the definition 11, they could have taken us over very easily within another 2 to 3 generations. But the prophets told us that Father Yahweh would put a hook in their jaw and pull them forward ahead of their time. What's that mean? Biblically speaking, that's a way of saying cause them to become paranoid and make a leap or a jump before their plans come to fruition. before they actually wanted to do this. You see, that's what Hillary was supposed to get in there for, another 8 years of communism, very similar to the previous administrations, not just Obama, but all the rest of them too. It was all part of the plan, okay? So it is causing a tremendous wake-up, as evidenced by all the things I see on a daily basis. And so that's the good news. Our people have been sound asleep. I mean dead asleep for decades. Dead asleep. And it's been to our chagrin, and it's time for the wake-up. And our people, you're going to have a very difficult time here, folks, especially latecomers, okay? Because you need to have, as leaders in your own personal life, at the community level, state level, and certainly at the federal level, you need men of integrity. And if you haven't been following people very much, and you're just now waking up, how do you know who the true men of integrity are? Because Christ told us, judge them by their fruits, not their words. Words are easy. They're cheap. You can hire some Jew speechwriter, and he'll give you all kinds of bullshit verbiage to put out there. It makes you look like a saint. Okay, that's how Obama got in. That's how all of them get in. They're idiots, okay? If you actually had a extemporaneous discussion with them to where they had to speak on their own, you'd find out they don't know squat. They're morons. Probably the average middle grade individual in this country knows more about what's going on than these idiots. If it weren't for their speech writers, they wouldn't know a damn thing. So, and I was just told last night that they're actually trying to get legislation that people that speak out against these quacks and charlatans within our government, we are somehow worthy of being arrested and possibly jailed. Of course, once the Bolsheviks take over completely, you'll just drag you out in the street like the Cheka did in Russia, and they'll just shoot you down in the street. And if you don't think that that's what they want to happen, you just have not been paying attention, okay? You really haven't. If you read between the lines what these leftist communists are saying, they're telling you what they've got planned for you and your children. It's not pretty. Just go read the people that lived through the Red Terror of Bolshevik Russia when the Jews in the Cheka and then later the NKVD, which is what their secret police was called. Go read what they did to the Russians, the Ukrainians, and then what they were doing to the people of Cambodia and China and Vietnam and Korea. Go read what the communists do to people that dare to speak out against them. That's what they got planned here. They're not hiding it. Please, wake the hell up. Okay? George Washington said, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. Like fire, a troublesome servant and a fearful master. Never for a moment should it be left to irresponsible action. Thomas Jefferson said the two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second, meaning the government, down with the chains of the Constitution so that the second, meaning the government, will not become the legalized version of the first. Well, we live in a cacistocracy, so we did not pay attention to Thomas Jefferson, did we? And then Dresden James said this, when a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses over generations, the truth will seem utterly preposterous and its speaker a raving lunatic. Boy, have we got there. It reminds me of the scripture. It says, because I tell you this truth, I am your enemy. It was a question. And that was in the new parchments. Okay, so the disciples saying, I'm your enemy simply because I'm telling you the truth? What's it say about you? That's not a dispersion on me as a truth teller. It's a dispersion on you who have no regard for the truth. Isaiah 26, verse 4, trust in Yahweh forever, for in Yah, Yahweh is an everlasting rock. Boy, there's one you should put a check mark by. Short and sweet. Where are we today? We're in perilous times, as 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about. Just read the descriptions of the populace in this day and age and tell me it isn't true. So here, trust in Yahweh forever, for in Yah, or Yahweh, is an everlasting rock. By the way, it reminds me of some of the books I'm reading right now. Journey of Souls is one. My Glimpse of Eternity is the one I just finished. Signature in the Cells, I just started, and that's written by a scientist of sorts who approached the idea of what created life from the aspect of an atheist. He was a scientist. He believed science made our Heavenly Father irrelevant, inconsequential. So he wrote the book because in his quest to find the origins of life through biology and science and the study of our DNA, he came to the conclusion, and this book is over 500 pages long, so quite detailed. He came to the conclusion that if once you you research DNA and how it works, that at the macro, or not the macro, but at the micro level, down at the nano level almost, he said, you cannot, absolutely cannot believe it happened by accident. Or as Darwin tried to tell us, which is ludicrous that we even listened to Darwin, tried to tell us that, you know, proteins and molecules in a primordial soup just started all coming together and all these complicated forms of life happen, which is a violation of the third law of thermodynamics, which says that all things go from an ordered state to a disordered state when left on their own, without an intelligent force acting upon it from the outside. So the very third law of thermodynamics says evolution is just BS. And it is BS. So, interesting books. Again, you know, it's funny, after turning off the television, leaving it off, and I use it as a flag stand now, you find yourself, you have plenty of time to meditate, to talk, have discussions, and to read books. You have to remember, every book written is a piece of the author being revealed to you, and their life's experience. It reminds me of the quote, when an old man dies, a library burns to the ground. When an old person passes on to the other side, they take a whole library of life experiences with them. Did we download all that we could have from our elders? Instead of disrespecting our elders, we should be respecting them as we used to do in the old days. We were taught as children growing up, respect your elders. It doesn't mean kiss their butts. It doesn't mean that if you disagree with them that you just automatically take their side. But you can do it in a respectful manner. So it's okay if you want to have a discussion or a debate or whatever. Just be respectful. Same thing with our peers, you know, with our friends and our associates. It does. You don't have to be an echo chamber to the people around you, but you don't have to be an ass either. Scripture talks about that. Be all things to all men. Was it saying be gentle and respectful and all that to the invaders that are flooding across our borders? No, they're not of our family. Sorry, it doesn't mean to be abusive, doesn't mean I even hate them, but they're invaders. They're not of our kind. And people say, well, Dan, well, Jesus, you know what Jesus said, to love everybody and turn your cheek to the enemy and even pray for them. Really? But I can find you verses in the Old Testament where Yahweh, our King, said that you praying for a heathen is an abomination to him. He doesn't care for that. He says, I don't even hear those prayers. When you pray for some degenerate like Brock or any of these other degenerates in Washington, like these mainstream churches are saying, that's direct violation of what he said. They've chosen their path. They're reprobates. We're not even supposed to pray for them, and yet they've got you believing this long-haired hippie Jesus thinks we should pray for these kind of scoundrels. No, what we should be doing is looking for a sturdy oak tree and a good length of rope. That's what we should be doing. The reason our country is in complete turmoil is we don't have any rules anymore. We don't hold anybody accountable for anything anymore. And that's why I chose the title for today, that Civil War II is nearly here. It reminds me of John Mark, one of his latest videos. And if you're not subscribed to John Mark, which I would recommend at this point in time, go to BitChute. Because YouTube is just censoring too much stuff. So if you want the unadulterated, unfiltered versions of anybody's videos, they'll be uploaded to BitChute. 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 And you can listen to it there. BitChute's actually pretty user-friendly and not too hard to figure out what they're talking about. But anyway, his latest video about Civil War II and the results of that, I think you would enjoy watching that video. Actually, all of John Mark's videos are full of common sense, rational thinking, and solutions, which we're in pitiful short supply of. We need solutions. And part of the solution is to be aware of the racial aspects of everything, okay? There's a reason why the enemy wants you to think that race does not matter. Okay, you have to, come on, you have to think, folks. Put the entertainment to the side for a bit. Put all the mindless entertainment and games and all the other BS, put it to the side and sit down and ponder these items, okay? Why would your enemy want you to believe that there is no such thing as race? That is a mental construct of the Zionists within our society, okay? That comes straight out of the Talmud. It's part of their deception of how they make war by deception. They want you to believe it doesn't matter while in their private meetings and in their synagogues, they'll say just the opposite. But then again, Christ warned us that hypocrisy was a hallmark of a satanic force within your borders. That was a very easy way to tell you're dealing with Satan's kids, is utter hypocrisy. You see, we're not supposed to ever be hypocritic, a hypocrite, okay? Especially amongst ourselves. But they are hypocrites continually. And just look at the behavior in Washington and all the state governments and everything else. These people are 100% hypocrite. So if we focus on the racial issues, because there is a difference between races, as John Mark points out, the studies are all out there showing that these non-white races typically are leftist-leaning, and I mean substantially. We're talking 70 to 80% of them are going to be Democrats, which means Bolsheviks, socialists, all right? Not the good kind of socialism. There is a form of socialism that's good, by the way. So don't get triggered by the word socialism, all right? Don't let the media do that to you. The National Socialists of Germany were not communists, trust me. They were vehemently anti-communist. And they believed that the state's whole purpose was to provide for the benefit of the people. That's what National Socialism is. The government exists for the benefit of the people. Where does that sound familiar? Oh, the writings of the founding fathers for this country. And all of your state constitutions. We've read the one from Pennsylvania, the section in there where it says government is formed for our safety, our welfare, and protection. If the government ceases to provide for our happiness and safety and welfare, then they have failed and they need to be abolished and start all over again. Okay, these are public servants. They're not lifetime appointments. There should never be a lifetime appointment, ever, on any position. Never. Lifetime appointment? No, never. Okay, they're in there so long as they do a good job, so long as they obey the restraints of the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't restrain you and me. It restrains them. That's why they have to take an oath of office to uphold it. It's the contract with them. When they violate the contract, they are operating in what we call the color of law, meaning it has the trappings, the window dressing of law, but in actuality, they have violated the contract. Therefore, they are interlopers and deceivers. They have no authority over any of us, okay? I got some more quotes here, and the reason I want you to hear these quotes is because they're very appropriate to what we're talking about here. Now, Thomas Paine, and I sure hope to God everybody here that listens to the program knows who Thomas Paine was. There are persons also who see not the full extent of the evil which threatens them. They solace themselves with hopes that the enemy, if he succeeds, will be merciful. It is the madness of folly to expect mercy from those who have refused to do justice. And even mercy, where conquest is the object, is only a trick of war. The cunning of the fox is as murderous as the violence of the wolf, and we ought to guard equally against both. Fox being not nearly as strong, just like the communist insurgents in America, they're small in number, so they have to be cunning, deceiving. Let's see, there's a group. There's a small nation in this world that their secret service says, by deception thou shalt make war. Where have I heard that before? Oh, it's the Israelis, the Jews. That's right. By deception thou shalt make war. By the way, the word solace, in case you have not heard that in use very much, when he says they will solace themselves with hopes that the enemy will be merciful, that is that you give yourself moral or emotional strength. In other words, you're trying to convince yourself of a truth when it's really cognitive dissonance. Okay? You may want to think your enemy will be merciful, but every piece of empirical evidence says this enemy, these Bolshevik communist Jews, are anything but merciful. And again, all you got to do is go back a mere 100 years to what happened in Russia and the Ukraine. We're not even going to go into what happened in Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, and China. Okay, those were horrendous, what was done there. Horrendous. But just go to the Ukraine and Russia, where our cousins live, and see what the Bolsheviks did to them once they came to power. That's what's coming for us, folks. So it's either Civil War II, or you just allow the Bolsheviks to take over. And again, just go read the testimonies of people like Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who lived through that absolutely horrific period of time. Now here, this goes back 2,500 years ago when Heraclitus, in approximately 500 BC, said this. Now this is because we're talking about coming warfare. And tell me this isn't true even today, okay, as we look around at the general population. Of every 100 men, 10 should not even be there. Okay? Of 100 men. So if you got 100 guys in your community and you're thinking of forming a militia or a neighborhood watch or guard, out of 100 men, there's 10 or 10% that shouldn't even be there. Why is that? Well, because they're either imbeciles or just going along for the fun of it, whatever. So you can count 10% don't even belong there. 80 of these 100 are nothing but targets. 80% of that 100 are nothing but targets. 9 of these 100 people are real fighters. Only 9 people out of 100 are real fighters. We are lucky to have them. They make the battle. Amen. Ah, but the one of them is a warrior, and he will bring the others back. One of a hundred. That might be even pushing it. Might be less than that, statistically speaking. But in his day, and again, that's 2,500 years ago, about one out of a hundred is actually a warrior. And it's the warriors, the white stallions, as we call them, that will be the leaders in the coming civil war. Another of our founding fathers and philosophers that they quoted quite often, and I really, really like, is Jonathan Locke, L-O-C-K-E, Locke. Government has no other end but the preservation of property. And why is that? Now, why would John Locke, a revered philosopher of his day, back in the 1600s, why would he say that? Government has no other end but the preservation of property. Because, folks, we can do everything else ourselves. Government has intruded in our lives at levels that our founding fathers never expected them to be. They have no business in the issue of abortion, of health care, of probably 95% of the things that they involve themselves with. They have no authority, because you and I can take care of that. We know how to do all that, including protecting ourselves. We don't need them for that. Preserve property. What's the whole reason for a standing army? Even though the founding fathers said it should be the militia, with just a few permanent soldiers to be commanders in time of war, most of the soldiers would be militia, because you don't need large standing armies. It's for the preservation of property. Why else would you rise up in arms against an invading force? It's because you care about your property. And in a larger aspect, you can even say that your family, to the men, I'm talking to you men out there, your family is your property. In fact, truth be told, if you go to the Greek scriptures, the Greek words talking about women and children, which is doulos, it's the same word that was often transcribed as servants, because it means people under your authority, that you have a prerequisite or a, I'm trying to think of the right word, it's a requirement for the men to preserve and take care of their property. Now, a lot of people take offense to that. They say, well, how can you talk about people as if they're property, Dandy? Does that mean you believe in slavery? Well, first of all, the word slavery doesn't even go back to the ancient languages. They only had that word doulos. It just meant there's people that have other people in authority over you. You're going to tell me you don't have people in authority over you? I want to know who's walking this earth that doesn't have somebody in authority over them. We're all douloses. We're all servants of somebody. And we've got a whole hell of a lot of these insurgents coming in here who are servants to Satan. You're just gonna have to decide whose authority you want to be under, folks. So anyway, you could say that preserving of property is preserving of your family as well. And remember what Heraclitus said there about the out of 100 men. It's going to become very, very important. Now, John Locke also had this to say. The Bible, or the Scriptures, we could call it, the Scriptures is one of the greatest blessings bestowed by Yahweh God on the children of men. It has Yahweh for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any fixture for its matter. It is all pure when it's properly translated and properly broken down and interpreted by true men of Yahweh instead of these prostitutes who call themselves preacher. And last but not least, John Locke had this to say, and this one is vitally important. Any man trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. Take note of that. Mortal enemy. Do you know what that means? I took it right out of the dictionary. An enemy who wants to kill you. Okay? Any man trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. In other words, what John Locke is saying, there is only one reason these Bolsheviks are trying to disarm us. And they, again, if you read between the lines, and some of them have actually come out and said it here lately, if you read between the lines or listen carefully, they are calling for your destruction, up to and including killing you. They are speaking it out loud. Okay? That should have you on your guard, if nothing else does. So John Locke, one of our founders, one of the philosophers our founders used quite frequently, tried to tell us, okay? It's just amazing to me what it takes to wake people up these days. I mean, to me, we've seen enough already. Our founding fathers would have already been in the streets with their musket rifles and their hemp rope for hanging, okay? When they tell you they have the right to take your children and expose them to transgenders and homosexuals, that's a hanging offense. It really is. Real men 200 years ago would have taken anybody promoting that sort of thing out into the streets and probably hung them for blasphemy against nature, nature's law, and nature's God. Okay? You go into the animal kingdom, do they tolerate such things? They don't even do such things, let alone tolerate it. But man, we can be deceived, and we have been deceived. Again, we live in a cacistocracy, which is a legitimate word. Go look it up, and I'll give you the definition. Defined as governance by the worst elements of society, who govern exclusively. Now get that. Think about what that is saying. Who govern exclusively, meaning you ain't part of the club, in their own interests and to the permanent detriment. Now, what is detriment? Of all other classes. The Free Dictionary Online says government by the least qualified or the most unprincipled citizens. And we'll give you detriment right here. Detriment simply is damage or loss. Okay? So, to the permanent damage or loss of all other classes within our society. So, we live in a cacistocracy. We need to take back some of our words, speaking of language and the science of language. That's one way they use it against us. The Jews got into our academic circles and started twisting. We started being told by our flat screens. Now, back in the day, it was television, the image of the beast. We were told these were intellectuals and very people that we should really care about, like Spock and, can't think of the guy now for education, Dewey. Dewey, Spock, Freud, all that. Just turns out they're all Talmud thumpers. So, of course, the Jew-controlled media wants you to think the Talmud thumpers are so smart and everything they say we should pay attention to. Did Spock actually know how to raise a child? Absolutely not. Did John Dewey have anything to add to teaching our children and making them better people? Absolutely not. Sigmund Freud with psychiatry and psychology, did it bring anything good to our people? No. In fact, he actually started the science to help Jews out. In his own words, because Jews are mental. They have many mental disorders. It wasn't meant for you and me, but we fall into the trap, just like the income tax was to tax people who make large investments. the common folks don't have money to laying around to make big investments in companies and all that. The income meant money you make on investments, not your wages. That's ludicrous. Your wages aren't income. Income is if I invest $1,000, I get a 10% return, which means I get $100 back. What the law was saying is you did not earn that. You did not work for it. There was no exchange of your labor for that. Therefore, it is, quote, income. It's above your wages. And so you owe a small tax to help fund the government, because that is a biblical principle. Remember, tithing, where does that come from? Your increase. Even the tithe in the Bible is your increase. Your wages are not an increase, folks. I know there's churches out there that says, well, you need to tithe 10%. In fact, I think the Mormons require it. To be part of the Mormon church, you have to give 10% of what you make. That is criminal. Criminal. The Bible does not teach that. Yes, you owe, if you are blessed by the Father with a windfall profit of some sort, yeah, you're sort of obligated to take a portion of that to use for the work of our people. Okay? But if you're just making $10 an hour, to think that you owe any of that to anybody, you're barely able to make it to feed your family. You don't owe anybody, including the quote, church, and Yahweh certainly doesn't expect it of you. None of our people would expect it of you. You see, there's common sense solutions to everything. So everything is out of control, but it's always done gradually, because in the beginning, people understood that you didn't owe that tax. The IRS is completely BS. It's all criminal, and it's all because of a mind game, a switching of the words. So we need to get back to calling a spade a spade. And one of the best ways, I think, right now, is stop calling babies fetuses. Please, I'm tired of it. Even our people are still caught in that trap. That you've been led down that slippery slope by the Jew, and you need to stop it. Okay, they didn't go after murdering the babies until they started calling them fetuses first and saying how, well, you know, there's times when that fetus, that blob of material, you know, it might be better just not to bring it into this world. Really? Well, that comes straight out of the Talmud. You know that, right? The holy book of the Jew. Because that's their philosophy, that a baby is nothing but a blob of material until it comes out of the mother's womb. But as the governor of New York and all the satanic forces there clapping on the new law that says you can actually kill a baby even after it comes out of the womb, you have to understand something. The Jew governor and all of his Jewish cohorts, you are an animal. So for them to say that it's okay to kill an animal even after it's come out of the mother's womb makes perfect sense to a Jew, because you and I are nothing but animals. Goyim is their word for us, okay? You're nothing but a herd animal. H-E-R-D, herd. Herd animal. You and your children. That's why it's okay to stick poisons in them, like these vaccines and pharmaceuticals. That's why it's okay to kill you on the operating table. That's why they prescribe things to you that they know won't work, but just extend your painful life, because you're just an animal. It's not hard to figure out, folks. You have people here who are that demented, that sick, walking amongst you in shoe leather. Devils walking amongst you in shoe leather. Karl Marx, another Talmud-thumping kike, says in his 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, the education of all children from the moment that they can get along without their mother's care shall be in state institutions at state expense. Karl Marx is, you have to read between the lines. You got to remember, in Karl Marx's idea, the state is run by the Jews, because that's the ultimate goal. And in America, they've almost got it. Almost completely got it. Because who is going to stand against them? They bought off people. They murder people. But again, John Mark in his YouTubes, I would highly recommend you go listen to him. There's a lot of common sense there. And we're going to go right back to Richard Buckminster Fuller and what he said, because this is a formula for success, almost as much as 2 Chronicles 7:14. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. Okay, do we need help with that word? Obsolete. Meaning no longer in use. Obsolete. No longer in use. Okay, so making it obsolete is what? Means people will abandon it. It's just like the building of a better mousetrap. If you can learn how to build a better mousetrap, the world will beat a path to your door. It'll happen naturally. There will be no force. It's a natural consequence. All these invaders are coming into the white nations for what reason? Because there's no recourse. There is no accountability. When the white man takes back control, as John Mark says in his video, when the white Adamic man takes back his rightful position as being in authority, there will be consequences to actions. Your society will become cleaner, more prosperous, healthier overnight. I guarantee it. Overnight. As soon as the white man steps forward and says, we're taking back control of our country. I know what the Jew has done by infiltrating our government and putting legislation out there to destroy what our founding fathers set up. Yeah, I know that. But you know what? This is a new day. And with the stroke of a pen, our leader, whatever title you want to give him, it doesn't matter. With the stroke of a pen, our leader will abrogate and destroy all that bogus legislation. We'll go back to a very small government with a very small amount of legislation. And the alien will lose all political power immediately. Every alien will be taken out of office. Every alien will lose citizenship. Every alien will not be part of governing this nation. And within our own ranks, only the righteous, proven men of integrity will allow to be making decisions. And the people that elect them and mentor them as our leaders will be other righteous men of the community. Notice I said righteous men of the community. And again, if people don't like that, it's too bad. I didn't make the rules, folks. I didn't make the rules. My job was to present the rules to you by our lawgiver, as Isaiah in chapter 33 says. Okay, he is our lawgiver, our king, our judge, and he will be our savior. Okay, we have one. There's only one. That's the problem, is you have a pantheon of gods today. You've got work. You've got career. You've got money. You've got entertainment, materialism, the Jew, government, all these things you worship. It's a pantheon of idols. You're idolaters. What does it say in the book about idolaters, folks? What happens to idolaters? What happened to the ancient Israelites whenever they fell into idolatry? Just saying. We should probably also remember that Blackpilled is a very good YouTube channel. I think it's Devin Stack. He's an author. He puts together some really, really good videos, Blackpilled. But in one of them he said, when non-white men get angry, they might burn a few buildings, but when white men get angry, they burn down empires. That's our legacy. We burn down empires, and right now the empire of Satan has a death grip on this world. So again, the old saying that it only takes the righteous to stand back and do nothing to allow the evil to basically do its thing. Evil prevails when good men do nothing. Good men are not doing anything out of, I don't know, out of confusion, fear. I don't know. Why is it the good men think that we can't win this thing? Why is it the good men think that it's okay to stand back and do nothing? Since when? First of all, on this earth, in this present day, what are your children and grandchildren going to say, guys, when the Bolsheviks have taken over and they see loved ones drugged into the street and raped and murdered and tortured right in front of them? Do you think you're going to be looked at with honor and respect, or as cowards? Which one do you want? Do you want to be remembered? Because we're going to cross over that river one day anyway, okay? That's a foregone conclusion. You can do nothing about that. Once we cross over that, do you want your memory to be of your loved ones that you were a pussy and a coward? A cuck? Or men who took a stand against evil? Bolshevik communism, Talmudism are evil. Plain and simple. Not hard to figure out. Allowing them to take over our country is tantamount to treason, not only against our own families and the founding fathers, it's treason against the living God. He did not create this world to have it look like what it is today. He did not create this world to be this cesspool that we're swimming in, and it's suffocating. Adam was put here to tend the garden. What does that mean in modern language? To tend the protected area. What is a garden? It comes from the Hebrew word meaning a protected area. Okay? A protected area. What is the earth? Under the firmament. A protected area. We were to keep law and order. Notice this, the sequence of that, law and order. You don't get order and then law. You enforce the law to get order. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he'll never depart from it. Isn't that what it says? Spoil the child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the rod, spoil the politician. Spare the rod, spoil the police officers. Spare the rod, spoil the military men. Spare the rod, spoil the judiciary. So what's the corollary of that? Okay? Stop sparing the rod. Administer the rod of punishment. Hold people accountable. There's your answer. And again, if anybody has a question and or wants to make a comment, please use the features. Again, I'm getting used to how this particular software does it, and I'll try my best not to miss it. But use the *6 on a phone, and on your computer there should be a button that says Ask Question. And that will flag me that you're on standby, and I can unmute you, and you can join us in our discussion. Again, I want to recommend transferring from YouTube to other channels. D-Video, I think, is another one that's an up-and-coming. Vimeo is out there. But BitChute is one of my personal favorites because it's rather large. It's been around. It's been debugged quite a bit. And many of the YouTubers with some of the better content out there have already jumped over and created channels on BitChute. And many times they'll give you a watered-down version of it because of the censorship on YouTube, and then you have to go to BitChute if you want to hear the unadulterated truth. There's a definite gun grab going on, and I hope people are aware of that. And we've talked about the fact John Locke told us, anybody trying to take our weapons, they are our mortal enemy. Don't ever forget that, okay? Don't ever ever, ever, forget that, never surrender your firearms under any circumstances. And yeah, the media is going to try to make you out to be a kook. Media is going to do everything. But what is the media today, the mainstream media? What are they? They are mouthpieces of the Satanists. Why would you expect anything different from your enemy? Okay? Why? Why would you do that? When the enemy demeans you, that's actually a good sign. The enemy recognizes you as an enemy. And are we not to be enemies of evil? Okay? Yeah. We are. So, keep that in mind. I had another interesting tidbit that was given to me, and I can't remember where I put it. So I'm looking for it right now. Not sure where I put it. All right, well then, I'll just go over the gist of it, so to speak. It was talking about all the staged events, and literally every act of terror is a staged event. And it makes me think of the quote of Henry Kissinger. Now, did I save that somewhere? Oh, yeah, I did. Here it is. Now, speaking of staged events, let's go back. When did the so-called terror, terrorism and terror were almost never in print the whole time I was a young man growing up? Okay, that didn't start till the 90s. Okay, now what happened in the 90s? Well, 1992, we had an event in this country called Ruby Ridge, Idaho, and the Randy Weaver family. Do you remember? I know we have short memories these days. I remember it very well. It was part of my wake-up, so to speak. And I had written to Randy while he was in jail and got a very nice short letter back from him. He basically said they murdered my family, which I already knew that. And they settled out of court, by the way. Actually, it wasn't a settle out of court. They lost in the criminal trial against Lon Hurucci and the government for wrongful death. They claimed that there was no criminality in that, but they won their civil suit against the government. So that's what the mainstream media didn't tell you. In a civil case, a jury did find the government guilty of wrongful death and awarded them $3.1 million. And this was back in the 90s. Okay, $3.1 million. Randy gave the $3 million to his three surviving children, and he only kept $100,000 for himself. After all of the anguish and torment that he had been through, that's a pretty small pittance to make this government pay. But then again, the government didn't pay it. You and I paid it. They kept doing business as usual, because fining the government is about the most ludicrous thing that you can ever imagine, because all they do is take it out of the taxes and raise the taxes. So the government officials, when government like that is found guilty, it should be the individual has to dip into his own personal estate to pay for his criminality. Not you and me. That doesn't make any sense at all. And not only should they pay a fine, they should be jailed. If they've committed a crime, a financial fee, especially when it's wrongful death, what does the Bible say about wrongful death? But you see, the government officials have created law parallel. You don't know this. Those of us that have looked into this, they've created parallel law, okay? For instance, in America, they say the death penalty has been taken away. Isn't that what your lamestream media tells you? But you know that's not the truth. It's only a partial truth. They took away the death penalty if somebody kills you, your wife, your children. They get life imprisonment or some long term. Unless it's a police officer, then they get a life sentence. However, if you do harm to a government official, of any kind, you can be executed. Did you know that? So when they say death penalty was done away with in America, they're only talking about you and me. That somebody that kills one of us is not allowed to be put to death. But if it's one of them that gets hurt, then the culprit is to be executed. Isn't that sweet that our criminals, our degenerate, prostitute government people think so highly of us that they said it's okay to kill us and we're not going to impose the biblical requirement of death to the perpetrator, but we're going to do it when they hurt us, though, meaning politicians and police and military. Yeah, those people we can kill, but we're not going to kill people that kill you. We're going to keep them around because death is good and large prison populations good for business. Have you ever heard of something called prison industries? Let me give you three guesses at what race controls prison industries and the Bureau of Prisons today. Let me give you a guess of what satanic group controls the Bureau of Prisons and prison industries. Just take a guess. I'll give you three of them, but take a guess. Now, I mentioned earlier that books are a good thing for us to get into. I have a whole list here. If you contact me through the website, PastorDan.net, I'll be glad to send you what I have gathered over many, many years of some of the best books that I have read that are quite eye-opening. And some of them are fairly new that you might want to put down too. Put down with a star by him. Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America by Thomas Chittum. If you haven't read that one yet, you really, really should. Leon Degrelle, Campaign in Russia, The Waffen-SS on the Eastern Front, another bestseller. Behold a Pale Horse, William Cooper, of course. Billions for the Bankers, Debts for the People by Sheldon Emery, excellent. Barbarians Inside the Gates, that's got four different volumes by Colonel Don de Grand Pre, another excellent, excellent set of books. 1984, of course, by George Orwell, and he should know, he was an insider. Did All Races Come from Adam by Pastor Lawrence Blanchard. Go to yourbiblicalheritage.com. You can pick that one up. And I know I'm going through this kind of quick, but if you're listening to the downloads or the archive program, you can always stop the recording to jot things down. For folks that are just listening live, it's a pain in the butt. But Dissecting the Holocaust, The Growing Critique of Truth and Memory by Germar Rudolph. I had a chance to meet Germar in person up in Michigan many years ago. Gave me an autographed copy of his books. He ended up doing time in prison for speaking the truth. Fox's Book of Martyrs. I would recommend, though, if you have a weak stomach, you might not enjoy that one. Our friend Gertjan Ziegler up in Canada wrote one called Gulag, An Examination of What Jews Have Done and Are Capable Of. Okay? Again, see, the truth is out there, but you have to be a seeker of the truth. And that's the problem. By the way, one of our dear brothers is in the process of meeting with the National Alliance people, and we hope to have a spot-on interview in the very near future with representatives from the National Alliance. So, and keep our brother in your prayers as he is in discourse with them to show where we have a lot of common ground. So hopefully we'll have that very, very soon. This is a book, Hellstorm. I think you've heard about that. It's also a video out there, The Death of Nazi Germany 1944 through 1947 by Thomas Goodrich. Thomas was on this program for an interview. Excellent book. The video is also very, very good, but it's also very disturbing to your sensibilities when you find out how we've been lied to and what these satanic forces have actually done. But, of course, the media will cover for them because the media is run by the same satanic forces. So why wouldn't they cover for their own? It's up to us to weed out the truth, right? Another good one is Imperium, The Philosophy of History and Politics by Francis Parker Yockey, Y-O-C-K-E-Y, Francis Parker Yockey. And by the way, he paid a dear price for writing that book. Died in custody. Does that sound familiar? This was many years ago. Died in custody. Seems to happen to a lot of people. The works of Stephen Collins about the Lost Ten Tribes and who they are today, I would highly recommend any of those books. I've got the whole series. Kill the Best Gentiles by James W. Von Braun, probably another very good one to have in your library. And here's one, too. Lost Israel Found in the Anglo-Saxon Race, The Promises Made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob Fulfilled in the Anglo-Saxon Race by E.P., so that's Echo Papa, E.P. Ingersoll. So not only Stephen Collins, but many other archaeologists and authors have verified who we are. Another little, and this is a small book, you could probably read it in an evening or two, is None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen. It's one of the books that woke me up very, very quickly. This one is also very disturbing, talking about the truth of what the Allies did to the Germans after the war was over, called Other Losses, The Shocking Truth Behind the Mass Deaths of Disarmed German Soldiers and Civilians Under General Eisenhower's Command by James Bach, B-A-C-Q-U-E, Canadian. And there's many, many more. Again, I got a whole list here. You can also go to BibleBelievers.org.au for Australia. They have a huge list of recommended reading there. And again, you know, education never stops, okay? Just because you graduated from school doesn't mean your education has stopped. Oop, okay, I've got some questions here I just saw on the board. Let me see if I can figure out how to unmute you. That's the thing that they did not tell us about. Okay, Randy, this says that you're unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, praise Yahweh.
Oh, okay. I think I figured it out.
Okay,
go ahead.
You've touched on many topics, but I'm definitely interested in the enemy's move against our right to keep and bear arms. You know, some people think that, you know, they'll just, you know, straight up do a confiscation. I believe we've talked about this before. Of course, this kind of goes back to the old saying with the frog and the boiling water. You know, if they turn up the water too, you know, they turn up the heat on the water too quick, the frog jumps out. Well, this could be applied to the gun confiscation method that they want to, you know, do to us. I think on a national level, they know that would not be smart. So what have they been doing for years? They've been basically dictating what kind of accessories we can or can't have, or high capacity. They don't want us to have the high capacity magazines or certain kinds of rifles. And anybody that really knows what's going on can see that these are slow increment moves against our right to keep and bear arms. Now, some people may fall victim to this way of thinking when the government comes along and says, "Well, you know, nobody really needs a bump stock. Most people might agree and say, well, we really don't need it." But folks, these are small little methods that they use, and the ultimate goal is to basically chip away at the Second Amendment where you have nothing left. And they, you know, they also do this. The videos that I'm about to talk about, you can see they're on YouTube. Rahm Emanuel talked about it if you were on a no-fly list, which we all know that, you know, the government could just put you on this list, no trial, nothing. They just put you on a list, and through that method, they would be able to say, hey, you know, you're a possible threat. The key here is they could just say that we think that you might do something. Well, come on, folks. They could put any one of us on the list, and through that method, they would deny us our right to keep and bear arms. Another one is this whole, this has been in the news a lot lately, but they've been talking about it for years, and this whole idea of, well, we have a mental health problem in the United States, so, I mean, what are they going to do with this idea? They're going to set up a board of people who probably don't even like the fact that we have the right to keep and bear arms, and then, what, they're going to ask you some questions, and then they get to decide if you're mentally fit to have a weapon? Oh, you know, we've seen what they've done with healthcare, folks. Imagine if we had to go stand before a board of people and they would determine who has rights or not? I mean, come on, folks. Who thinks that's a good idea?
Yeah. Well, we're being governed, again, by a cacistocracy. The worst elements of our society are in positions of power in the judiciary and legislature, et cetera. We're in trouble, Randy, because you can't expect righteous behavior out of immoral people.
Right. And what did President Trump not too long ago? I mean, there's some things that he does that I like. But you know what? I'm not going to be like the Republican chief and just be like, well, he's a Republican, so we just let him get away with whatever. No, folks. He said he'd take away the guns, and then we go to court later. No, that's not how due process works. That's dangerous. People that say, hey, we're just going to take away your rights or take away your gun, and then we can go to court, that is not the way due process works in this country. Our founding fathers were smart enough to know and to put things into place so we wouldn't have a tyrannical government. When somebody said, I don't care who they are, Democrat or Republican, when they say, well, we'll just take your guns away and then you can go to court, that is tyranny.
Yeah, amen. Let me ask you a question, Randy. Robert Thoreau wrote a famous essay justifying a thing called civil disobedience. And for people that aren't quite sure what that means, a dictionary says a group's refusal to obey a law because they believe the law is immoral, as in protest against discrimination. So if you feel the law is immoral, you're basically saying, I believe in following God's law rather than man's law, and I would refuse to obey it. Are we at a point where civil disobedience is being called for?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to have to use this as an example. The government that we have today, okay, they look at somebody like Rosa Parks as like a great, great hero because she stood up against the powers that be. But of course, they would demonize us, right? If we tried to do something like that, you know, if we don't go along with what they say, they're going to demonize us as terrorists. But when it comes to somebody like Rosa Parks, they say she's a hero.
Well, yeah, but because your enemy controls the media.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, folks, I have to be, my way of thinking, I have to be hardcore about this because I don't look at this just as a right to keep and bear arm issue. I look at all the nasty, evil things that these people, they say they represent us. They say God bless America. But look at what they truly do. Look at them. They chop up little babies, right? They sell their body parts. And then if you dare expose that, out in California, you know, you've had these trials going on against the Center for Medical Progress. They go after the people that expose their evil. That in itself is evil. They don't want us telling the truth. They don't want us exposing their plots and their plans and all their evil things. This is the time, brothers and sisters. This is the time. Get your phones out. Don't forget about your guns, but get your phones out at all levels. Expose these people. Expose the evil, expose the corruption. What are we waiting for? The time is now.
I would agree. And let me ask you now, I'm seeing a lot of indications that we are approaching that time, Randy, that there is a massive wake-up and there is below the radar in some cases, a call to arms. Are you seeing that in any of your circles?
think people are starting to not be as afraid, maybe as they were, let's say, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. People, I think a breaking point's coming. People have just had enough.
Yeah, I do too.
Of course not. I mean, we've been talking about this stuff for a long time. But they're, believe it or not, there's people that are just waking up to all this. And, you know, they're out there looking. I mean, we all have a different awakening process. But there's people out there looking for the truth. And we can't forget the fact that, hey, we've been studying this stuff maybe 10, 15, 20 years. But realize there are folks just now coming on board. Yes, they're coming into the game late. But better late than never.
Better late than never. Amen to that.
Yep.
Hey, Randy, I want to bring Henry on, but again, this is new software, so if I drop you, I'll go back and unmute you, okay?
Yeah, praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Let's see if this worked. Henry, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear, buddy.
Oh, because this is the first time I've ever done it on my computer. In the past, I've always called in on my flip phone, so that's good. Yeah, that's good because I was wondering if you were avoiding me because I've been trying to connect with you for a few weeks, but I've been doing it with the phone, and obviously you're having a lot of issues recognizing the Star 6. So I went over to the laptop today, and praise God, I'm on the air with you, so that's what counts.
Amen, amen. And yeah, absolutely. You know, I apologize for that, Henry, because, no, I would never try to avoid you.
No.
But it, you know, it's my fault. They changed the whole presentation that I see on my screen, and I know other people can't see it, but the whole presentation is completely different. So, and I know it sounds like a small thing, but when somebody changes your software and how you do things, there's a learning curve, and I, you know.
We totally understand, Commander.
Real quick, Henry, I wanted to let you know, your connection through your computer is 10 times better than your phone.
In what sense?
The clarity of your audio. It's 10
really?
Times better. Yeah.
Oh, then I'll continue to do it this way then.
Okay.
Well, that's great. I didn't realize that the audio was kind of crummy from the other way, but that's fine. This is actually better because I can get involved in the chat and everything too. So So why did I call in? I guess you said the subject today was Civil War. I believe, right? On the
I believe we're at the precipice. I really do. Right. I don't think it'll take any much more than a spark at this point.
Yeah, I think I completely agree. We've probably been talking about civil war and the impending civil war for a while now. But I think anybody who doesn't see that it's on the precipice, the right on the edge now, they have to be amongst the 90+% of the brain dead that don't know anything that's going on, because right now I was really thinking that the 2020 elections was going to be the point where it would probably start to collapse, but now it looks like with this second wave of impeachment hearings that's starting now that they're pushing the agenda forward. So I think it's going to happen. I'm not even sure there'll be a 2020 election at this point.
Well, you're making a good point. Here's how I interpret it. The Bolshevik left knows that they're not going to win in 2020, okay? First of all, their candidates are complete retards, every single one of them, okay?
Right.
So the same group of Americans that were repulsed by Hillary are just as repulsed with this next crop. So unless they completely rig the election, which I think there's forces out there watching them now, so it's not as easy as it used to be. They know they can't win, so now it's just like the book says. It's like our Heavenly Father is putting a hook in their jaw. Since they know they can't win the election in 2020, now that shortens their window, and so they have to make their move very soon.
That I think that's an excellent analysis. I think that's pretty much the the same ideas that I was formulating when I was thinking about this in the last few weeks, exact same thing, that it's inevitable that they're going to lose again, and the only way to take back power is to do it corruptly, like they're attempting to do now. It's so laughable. Yeah, they're candidates, like you said. It's just, it's amazing how in lockstep they all are with this socialist communist agenda too. Just, I, and to, you know, we're older guys, but to realize that this country actually has a significant portion of the population that actually thinks communism is a good way out of this is staggering. It's staggering to my core being. I mean, I could never imagine there'd be a day where I'd live in the United States of America and know that there's millions of people in this country who want communism with its history, with its evil history.
But Henry, these are people that don't know the history of communism.
Of course. Yeah, that's right. They don't. It's just, you know, the other thing is, we call it a civil war, but in reality, you know, civil war, in the way I understand civil war typically is about trying to gain control of the government. And I really don't think that's what we want to do. If anything, we want to secede from this government. So it's a little bit different. You know, it's more like what the South was trying to do. Would you agree with that?
Right. There's several definitions. I took the simple dictionary definition of it's just conflict within a country between opposing factions.
Okay.
Not necessarily for taking over the government, because this government today is illegitimate anyway. It's violated the contract. They're illegitimate already. It's what John Marx says. We who advocate the law of reciprocity, let's call it, we who advocate that, our first goal is peaceful separation. But at the same time, as John Mark and Kurt Doolittle say, the evidence is that they're not going to allow us to peacefully separate, because they need our work ethic, they need our money, they need our support, because Bolshevik communism never, ever has succeeded on this earth. Ever.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they need parasites to live off of, and you and I are the parasites.
Or actually, we're the host, and they're the parasites, right?
Well, I'm sorry. You're right. I got that confused. You're right. We're the host. They're the parasites. You're right.
They cannot exist without the host, the middle class white host that we've been for really about 100 years. It's just getting exponentially worse decade by decade. If someone could actually do the calculations of the amount of money they've extracted out of the white middle class over the last 50 or 100 years, it would be so staggering to the mind. I couldn't even imagine it. And like you just said, that's what they need. So that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to impose that on us. So if we don't fight back now, we're just, it's just over. You know, the biggest issue that I see when I think of our situation, especially in the United States, in the West in general, but in the United States more, even more in the United States than the European countries, although they've got their own multiculturalism problem in the European countries now, obviously, we've had multiculturalism in the United States for a lot longer than the countries in Europe. They've been flooding our border in Mexico, in the Mexican border, for a long time. And so when I compare our situation to the southern, the Civil War with the South against the North, or I think about National Socialist Germany, the biggest difference in those two instances where they fought back was they had a white ethnostate in reality. And we really don't. So it gets a little bit cloudy. You know, we've got that problem to deal with too, and I'm not sure how that's going to shake out. I don't know what your ideas or thoughts on that is.
Well, we have to come out of the brainwashing that other races have a right to be in our government, okay?
Absolutely.
So we have to, it's crucial for our people to start thinking like white men and women again, all right? And it is not our job to wet nurse the rest of the world, and it's not our job to accept their bad behavior, and it's not our job to allow the Jew to come in and brainwash us that it's our duty to be diversified and to allow this invasion of our lands. We have to throw all that away and come back to the basics. And the basics are we as a people, a family of people, the white race, we have a right to exist, we have a right to the nation that we founded, and we have a right to expel all of those who are not of our kind. They need to go away. They need to go back to where they came from. And if it has to be at the point of a bayonet, well, then that's fine. But you no longer can stay in my country without requirements. That's what the whole visa program was, that you get a visa so that we, our public servants, and the rest of us know that you're a visitor. You're a visitor, okay? You've identified yourself here on a temporary basis to learn, do business, visit, whatever. Okay, that's okay, but you have to let us know you're here, that you're a visitor, and that you have an expectation to be gone within 6 months.
Yeah.
Or 3 months, whatever the visa is for. So the whole visa program has been scrapped, much like the Constitution has been scrapped. The immigration policy clear up till 1965 has been scrapped. They have undermined our basic institutions just like termites eating away at the wooden foundation of a house. And now the house is on the point of collapse because we've allowed the termites to eat away at the foundational timbers so badly that there's not anything holding us up anymore. We have to go back to the basics. What holds up our people? A racial consciousness and an obedience to a Creator Father. Which, again, if you don't think that we're here by a creator, you need to read several books that I've read, the latest being Signature in the Cell. It's a thick book, but it's excellent. Signature in the Cell, the DNA and how it works. All you got to do is a cursory examination of something so marvelous in its creation at the DNA level, that tiny, tiny nanoparticle level. The organization, as the scientist says, we don't even have computers today that can match the speed and the ability to store information that within the cell at the DNA level can do.
Yeah.
We can't match it.
Yeah. You know,
people think that that's by accident.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, Randy, I think you're unmuted. Can you still hear us?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, I just wanted to let you know that you are. Go ahead, Henry.
Yeah, he can jump in if he has something. You know, I'm not trying to dominate here or whatever. Randy, feel free to jump in if you need to say something. But as you were just speaking about the, you know, the DNA and the unique the sophistication of our creation, it's just so amazing. And when I hear some of these, you know, I have a computer background. I was a programmer for about 30 years, actually more than that. I know a little bit about technology. I'm not saying I'm a whiz, I mean, but I'm pretty sharp. And I always got a kick out of this. I think it's nonsense when people talk about, you know, transhumanism is really sick. I mean, let's face it, it's about as sick. I can't think of a more repulsive thing in Yahweh's eyes than transhumanism. It's got to be the ultimate sin against him. And these whacked out people in the high-tech tyranny circles who actually believe that they will be able to download or merge a computer with a human mind. I don't know, a lot of people out there might think that this is actually possible with today's technology. I think it's actually insane. The human mind is so far advanced. Sure, computers can store a lot more knowledge I mean, but I mean, you, to think that you could actually merge a human mind with a computer, I think it's insane, and I think it's foolhardy. I just, and from my background, I don't. It's not doable. So, I just think it's part of the big psyop to take us to the next level where we just are so submissive to these control freaks. And like you said earlier, you know, the dumb people who actually believe communism is a good thing are the same kind of people who are gullible enough to believe that that'll probably be a good thing too. Yeah, sure. That's the next level of evolution, I guess, right? Unbelievable. Where is this society? This is why, you know, it's all seems to be culminating to me with what we were talking about initially about the civil unrest and the impending civil war. This society is breaking down on all levels, morality wise and in every other way. You got the transhumanism aspect of it, and then, you know, and you got the impending chaos that's going to, let's face it, this is not going to be pretty. In fact, if we have the balls to do what we're talking about doing here, if we actually undertake this task and start it, we know it's going to get worse before it gets better. It has to. All good things have to devolve even worse because that's the only way to improve it is to, you know, it's just going to have to get worse. And you just have to wonder where in this big, massive equation is the intervention of our Savior. And I just don't know if he's waiting for... On the one hand, I believe that he's waiting for us to show that we're willing to go back to our what we need to do. He's kind of waiting to see us do what we need to do. Maybe that's what he's waiting for. I don't know, but I think we're going to need a little help, and it would be nice to see him see us start doing the right thing and reward us and clean up the rest of the mess, because it's not going to be pretty. I know that's right. A lot I just said. I don't know. It's nobody has the answers, complete answers, how this is going. If we had the answer to how it's all going to shake out, I mean, nobody can. It's just, well, I think, go ahead.
Well, that's why the Father says it's his honor to hide a matter in the glory of kings to search it out. And we're all kings, so he wants us working together as a team to decipher these things and to discern the signs of the times. He wants us to come back together as a family, and part of the way you do that is you put your heads together and say, hey, there is no one of us with all the answers, but as a group, we certainly can figure this thing out. We got one of our listeners, Ralph, here says, we are in the de-evolution stage that occurred before the flood, the Tower of Babel phase, and Sodom and Gomorrah. I think that's a good assessment. He also said that we were programmed for this transhumanism with program or movies and TV shows like Battlestar Galactica.
Yep.
Also, I would throw in there Minority Report was setting us up for the idea that government can use artificial intelligence to tell who criminals are before they've actually committed a crime, which is totally ludicrous, because if we actually did that, everybody in government right now would be behind bars waiting for a jury to determine their fate, because every single one of them is guilty of serious crimes, and I don't even need artificial intelligence to figure that one out. So, they want the brain dead. They want the people who cannot think properly to believe that they have that ability. Yep. So the movie Minority Report is interesting, because what does the word Bolshevik mean in Russian? Minority.
Right.
Okay. So, I take that back. Bolshevik is majority.
Majority. Yeah,
but
right.
The reality was that the Bolsheviks were a minority within Russia, okay? But they called themselves the majority. So, again, they're always lying. They're always deceiving. Even when they called themselves the Bolsheviks or the majority, they were in fact the minority in Russia. So Minority Report, just put the Zionist Bolshevik Jew report, and it's the same thing. They're always trying to condition us and play with our minds and deceive us and guide our reactions to almost everything going on in the world. It's just, but here again, what's the solution to that? Is shut off the mechanisms that they get to your brain.
Yep.
Shut off the damn electronic devices.
My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of God, I will forget your children. Hosea 4:6. So,
and our children are suffering for that.
Oh, absolutely. Everything on that stupid box, most of what you see on the internet, if you're not kind of slick and know where to go and have strong discernment skills, you'll be swayed with the wind there. It's just they have almost total control of every means of communication now, I think it's probably a lot harder for somebody who hasn't awoken yet to do it now, because I can remember I'm relatively new at this. Like I told you before, I've only been in this truth movement for about 5 or 6 years at tops, and when my journey first began, it was so much easier to find truth about everything on the web. I mean, it was open. And now it's a totally controlled device. It's just, and the only reason I'm still able to navigate and find lots of good stuff is because I know where to go. Because if you rely on the search, the algorithms on the search engines are just totally fixed now, because they realize what people were. I know they realize now that people, too many people, were waking up, and the truth has gotten out to too many people. Even though, in my opinion, it's not enough people. I guess it is enough people, but I wish it were more. But they did make a calculated mistake, because too many people started to find out the truth about so many things, historical things, World War II. National Socialist Germany, 9/11, of course. I mean, you could go on and on and on, and everything, and right up to today, to what they're doing to us, to our ear and our water and medicine, everything. It's just people are awakening, and you know, that's what they hate the most. They hate us to know the truth and knowledge about the reality of the world. Because as long as we're in our little boxes and they control the information and we think that they're telling us the truth about things, they love it. But too many people found out the truth, and that's why they've tightened the grips on everything lately. And so I feel bad for people who haven't woken yet, because I can see from myself it's a lot more difficult now to find truth. If you rely on the recommendations from search requests, you're not going to find anything decent. It's sickening.
In the end, all things shall be revealed. I believe that's what's going on right now.
Yep.
The revealing of just how bad they've messed us up and our country.
Yep.
There is no more hiding for these people. There is no safe place. This is the battleground.
Amen. Let me just give this scriptural basis here. We're talking about what we're supposed to do and how bad things are. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we've talked about, is formula for success for the Israelite people, who are today the Caucasian, or at least a subset of the Caucasian race. If my people, who are called by my name, under my authority, will humble themselves, you know, that's something our people have forgotten all about, pray, seek my face, that means communication with him. If you seek your neighbor's face, what are you doing? You're in front of him. You can look at him. You can talk to him. So humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Okay? That's the big problem we're having right now, is our people are stuck in a rut, and they're having difficulty turning from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, which is transgression of my law, and will heal their land. So the problem we're having today is because the Bible was written for a nation or a group of people, not individuals. So as a group, the white race is deplorable today. Let's face it, it's deplorable. And we as a race need to come out of this quagmire that we're in and get back to being righteous people. In fact, the word Aryan, we were called the Aryans of old. The Aryan goes clear back to the Sanskrit language, which is pretty much as old as ancient Hebrew. And in Sanskrit, Aryan meant noble. So when we were called Aryans, it's because we were the noble race. And it's where the word nobility comes from. And even the word gentleman is from genteel men. Genteel was an old English term for basically the same thing Aryan is. People of nobility, people who were noble, who knew 2 Chronicles 7:14, knew how to be humble. Doesn't mean they were pushovers, but they knew how to be humble. They knew how to lead in righteousness, that they weren't domineering. They weren't dictators. They weren't condescending to their kinfolk. That's an unrighteous ruler. So, and we're talking about words where they have twisted things. Here's a couple quick ones though, I want people to throw out there. This is from the 1925 Jewish Encyclopedia, volume number 5, page 41. Esau Edom is in modern Jewry. Now, why is it important to know that? Go read Obadiah chapter 1, verse 18, and you'll find out why it's important to know who Edom Esau is. The Jewish Almanac, 1980, page 3, strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew, or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew. Rabbi Stephen Weiss, some call it communism, I call it Judaism. Amen, brother. And then the Jewish Voice, the July-August 1941 publication, anti-communism is anti-Semitism.
Same thing.
So when they throw out the term anti-Semite or anti-Semitism, they're basically trying to get people to demonize you for being anti-communist, okay? Because the Jews are communists, all right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. I actually think the biggest deception that's been cast on the world is this whole, really, what you just said, you just mentioned it in passing in your last commentary, that the Bible was written for our race, and if that truth ever got out, oh my God, there'd be hangings tomorrow like you couldn't even imagine. The more I understand, and the more I study Scripture now, with the backdrop of understanding that it's about our heritage only, I am actually seeing, you know, I've joined a few live streams, although I'm really getting sick of that show. The one the guy from your state there, Rick Wiles, he's such a a universalist. I've noticed when I've joined some of his live streams, you know, in the chats, there's a decent percentage of people that understand this message, and they're becoming a little more emboldened to speak about it, because as soon as one does, you'll see two or three others join in and back each other up. So We're not large in numbers, and we are a remnant, but I think this message of true Israel and who we are as a white race is really starting to penetrate the masses. And I wish it was more in numbers, but it is what it is. But I'm so glad that I understand the truth of that now. And 5-6 years ago, I certainly didn't, and I'm so thankful for However, I came upon this message, and I think you were probably as pivotal as anybody in my life as far as understanding this message about our race and what the Bible and what the Bible was written for, who the Bible was written for, and it's written for us, obviously. It's so clear once you understand this message, and once you understand how the translators have destroyed all the translations of the Bible, it's really, you don't have to toss out all 100% of the scriptures. I mean, there's nuggets all over the Bible. Value, I mean, obviously. But you take a handful of words, key words, like Jew, Gentile, world. I can probably come up with about 6 or 8 key words if you just understand the way they manipulate those words within the text of the Bible. And then when you reread the Bible, understand what they've done and how they've utilized those words to deceive you into thinking that those people are God's people and we're Gentiles. And it's just so amazing, because, and it's a shame that our church leaders, our Judeo-Christian church teachers, have been bought and sold just like everyone else. Everyone seems to have a price. And those people, to me, are on the bottom of the barrel as far as the ones Yahweh should just spit out of his mouth, vomit out of his mouth, because they have done more damage to the Christian people than anybody else could have. Because think about it. I mean, that's their job. Their job is to lead the sheep, and they've been taking the sheep astray down the wrong path, because we don't even know who we are for the most part.
Yep. Well, that's why there's a curse on them. In the scripture, it says that there's a double curse on those that lead the sheep astray, which is today's prostitute preachers. And there's another section of the prophecies that says that there's a day coming when these false teachers, their own parents, will help us hunt them down, because they'll realize what damage they have done, the innocent lives that they have betrayed, and allowed all this criminality to go on. We got a comment from Ralph up there in Canada. He says, true humility is upholding Yahweh's laws at any cost, in my estimation. And that's a good point. Also, when we talk about being humble, okay, let me give a dictionary definition. Marked by meekness or modesty, not arrogant or prideful. That's humility, okay? And a lot of our people have lost that. It's a shame, but they really, really have. We got to learn how to be the opposite of arrogant and prideful. We need to be willing to admit, all of us adults, we need to be willing to admit we've made a mistake. We went the way of the world. We followed after Jewish money. We listened to Jewish liars like Einstein, Freud, what the hell's that guy's name for education? Oh my God, it's just jumped out of my head. You know who I'm talking about? Dewey. Okay. All of these guys were Bolsheviks. All of these guys were Talmud-thumping Bolshevik Jews, and we allowed the media, which is controlled by the same group of people, to impress us. I can still remember as a boy, this guy's got a doctorate. This guy's got a master's degree. We must listen because he's educated. And then you come to find out that many times these degrees were honorary. I mean, look at the douchebag Obama was given the Nobel Peace Prize within weeks of being president. I mean, that should tell you it's all orchestrated to create an image. An image, wait a minute, where have I read that? The image of the beast, the image created by, the image controlled by. And we allowed images to override common sense and a knowledge of scripture and a knowledge of natural law. We allowed it to override that. And we've got to stop being like little children impressed with somebody's a visual image, like Bill Clinton. I asked women, how did you vote for Bill Clinton? Well, I thought he was handsome. Or why did you vote for Al Gore? Well, I liked the way he kissed his wife in public. Well, that's credentials to be governing the greatest, most powerful nation on earth. Yeah, those are good qualifications. You see what I'm saying? That's why our founding fathers and the Bible teaches leadership is in a small group that the people decide, that's my leader because he exemplifies the best of our race. Not the worst, the best. And it's just like we read that thing in the beginning, out of 100 men, only 9 are fighters. And of that 100, only 1 is a true warrior. That's, that goes clear back to the laws of Moses when they came out of the Egypt in through the desert and they were on the they were wandering the desert those 40 years. Okay? Leadership was always in the top 10%. Within the top 10%. It's always been that way. Our form of government here in the United States was never designed to allow 18-year-olds the right to vote, to allow women, to allow non-whites, to allow aliens, to allow undocumented or invaders that they call undocumented, but they're actually invaders. Never were these people ever supposed to be part of our governing process. Never. Yeah, so we gotta get back to basics, guys. We really do.
Oh my God, really? Yeah, I think one element that I really see as a need for us is all these great revolutions, and I'm not talking about the habitual revolutionaries, the Jews. I'm talking about the great revolutions like National Socialist Germany and the rise of the South. They all had great leaders, Adolf Hitler, Robert E. Lee. When I just wish there was somebody, Donald Trump, sorry, Donald Trump, you don't cut it. I know he's best we got, I guess, at this point, because he is our president, and he's done some horrific things since he's been in office. I mean, oh my God, so some of the repulsive things that he's done just make me sick, and you know I've voiced my opinion on that. I just wish we had someone who was more loyal to our cause. He seems more loyal to the Jewish cause in so many ways, but I don't know.
We do have people that are more loyal, okay, but you're never going to see them on regular media. But you're never going to even see them on much
I know
of the alternative
that.
Media.
Right, I know that. But what I'm trying to say is in Hitler's case, he's the best example I can think of. He was out there, and, I mean, people looked up to him, and he mobilized. And, boy, if we had someone like that today, and we just don't right now, I mean, maybe he'll emerge. I certainly don't believe the people who think Trump has been playing 4D chess and he really has been for us all along. I gave up on that idea a long time ago. I don't know. I just wish we had somebody who was more visible, and one who could mobilize us like the great one did.
Well, I believe that Father has this all within his plan. And for that reason, I'm going to go, it's a very short section here, Malachi chapter 4. Now, I want everybody to pay attention, okay, because I think Malachi is telling us a lot, especially for this present time, as Henry has alluded to here. So this is Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day comes, it burns as a furnace. Now picture looking into a red-hot furnace, folks. And all the proud and all who work wickedness will be stubble. And the day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh of armies, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now let me remind folks, when the Bible says it shall leave them neither root nor branch, it's telling that they are exterminated. All right? Yep. There's no progeny. There is no offspring from that contaminated, plague-filled portion of our world. But to you who fear my name shall the Sun of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. You will go out and leap like calves of the stall. Having grown up on a farm, I'm going to tell you, a young calf is bouncing all over the place. You shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes. We just talked about a furnace and what happens here. They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says Yahweh of armies. Now, verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, my doulos, which I commanded to him in Oreb for all of Jacob Israel, even statutes and ordinances. Okay, so we're reminded of his law. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes. Now, Elijah the prophet, we're told he's going to come, whether it's literal reincarnation or in the spirit thereof, doesn't matter, does it? He Nope. will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. In the original language, it's literally talking about the fathers to their posterity, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. That verse is actually a mistranslation because it's talking about turning our neighbors to one another, meaning within our own race, to start looking after each other and treating each other like family. Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Why would he curse the earth? Because his children don't obey. His children refuse. And if we keep going the way we are going, especially with miscegenation, he literally will curse this earth because there will be no more Adam kind to keep law and order. Can you imagine what this world would be like, Randy and Henry, if the white man did not bring law and order and it was just the Jews running the show? Can you imagine the hell on this earth?
Oh, geez.
So right there, we're given a clue. We're told Elijah will come before that great day. I don't think we're very far away from that great day. I really don't. So is there an entity on this earth that fits that description? That's what we should be starting to ask ourselves, and we should have our eyes and ears open for. A person who fits that description. You need to think about that, pray about that, ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you about that. Okay?
Yeah.
He gives us a clue on who this personage is. He'll be in flesh body. It's not the second coming where everybody's going to know Christ. Where is there difficulty in believing in a Christ that comes down through the heavens on a white charger? I mean, obviously it's the Christ. There's no challenge there.
That's right.
The challenge is when he sends somebody in a flesh body with his words and tries to admonish you to do the right thing, whether you listen or not. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because when he returns, it's too late for those who haven't figured it out.
Amen.
You know,
exactly
so,
right.
I used to know so many people growing up, even before I understood the true identity message. I would talk to atheists from time to time, and if he would just prove himself to me, if he would perform a miracle for me. I mean, oh, geez, I just couldn't believe it. Even back then when I was Judaized, I shook my head at some of these people and their atheistic stupidity. It's just some people are just never intended to get it. Let's just face facts. I mean, some people are just lost from the beginning. They never were intended to understand the message. I do believe in predestination. I absolutely do. And I guess that what that means is that this message of this identity message was going to come to me one way or the other, and before I died in human flesh, I was going to understand this message. I just know that. And another thing that I know about myself, since I've been searching for the truth, and with every ounce of energy that I can muster, is that I consider myself, if someone was to ask me to describe myself in just a two or three or four short words, the best way I could describe what I am and what I always have been, even though I didn't know it, is I would say I love Yahweh, and as far as my my code of ethics, I identify as a National Socialist, and I think that's as a Christian a thing as you can say, because from everything that I know about what that what they did and what they stood for, that was true Christianity. That was Christianity practiced instead of talked about, instead of the churchy-eyed people today who like to quote scriptures and say, do this and do that, and, oh, God loves everybody. What they did in Germany in the 1930s was they lived it, and they practiced it. And that's what I think God, Yahweh, wants our people. I think in the ideal world, I think the ideal world after he returns is going to resemble that. I really do. If you think of National Socialism in the 30s, I can't think of a better world.
Well, if people can still get a copy of the National Socialist German Workers Party platform, it's still available. I have a copy of it sitting over here. And as you read through their platform, you're going to find out that it's exactly what you said. It's very biblical. But we got a couple callers here, guys. Let me pick this up. If I drop you for some reason and you got something, do the star six or the ask question thing again, and you'll pop back up on the screen. But I'll try to get you. But anyway, we got another person that's got a comment or question. So it's okay, caller, you're on. Can you hear me okay?
Hi, Dan. It's Susan. Thank you for such a great show. I love it.
Okay, very, very good. Thank you.
Really appreciate your comments and also those who have called in. And it's so deep, and I'm so glad that there are many people who are exploring all of these things. I just wanted to contribute that we've got a somewhat urgent matter in the U.S. Congress right now. There's a Senate Bill 1. It's called S.1. And this is essentially for the unification, the codification of the union of the U.S. and Israel. We've got a corresponding one in the House, H.R. 1837. Each of these bills has already passed in their own camera, if you will. In other words, the Senate bill has already passed in the Senate. The House bill has already passed in the House. And so they've reversed now. They're on the other side. So H.R. 1837 is in the Senate, and Senate 1 is in the House. These are not just for the official unification of the U.S. and Israeli militaries. They are also, for example, 1837 is for the placement of directed energy weaponry in the atmosphere. You can see that on page 4 of that bill. And you can just look this up. Anybody can find this, and I can also send it around. but you can always just go to U.S. Congress, and you can find any bill easily. So you can read the whole thing for yourself. We kind of have an urgent matter because both of these bills are hovering, ready to officially conjoin the U.S. military with the Israeli military, and to have U.S. taxpayers pay for that service as well, in the hundreds of millions to billions of dollars. In the end of 1837, it actually states that in the case that Israel is accused of attacking Palestine or Palestinians, the U.S. is required, regardless of the truth of the matter, to state, to judge Palestinians guilty, which is completely contrary to international law, by the way, if we have any regard for that at all. But, I mean, it's just so outrageous that the U.S. is constrained to lie, regardless of the circumstances. So I'm hoping that everyone will pick up the phone and hopefully not a wireless one, but rather a landline, and start calling around to Congress. If you call the Senate, you're talking about H.R. 37. If you call the House, you're talking about S.1, Senate 1. I mean, every bill has usually a four-digit number, sometimes in a rare case a three-digit number, never a two-digit number. This one has a one-digit number, and they call it number 1. Why did they label the conjoinment of the U.S. and Israel as priority number one?
Yep, good question.
So yeah, that's what I wanted to contribute today, and thank you so much for everything
you do. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for sharing that, and if you got more, just hit the button again, okay?
Oh, I'd like to say one more thing, if that's possible.
Sure.
Okay, people may have heard on the mainstream media for about 2-3 weeks ago about how Pennsylvania Senator Mike Fulmer was arrested, supposedly for a photo, a pornographic photo that was found in his phone. It turns out that photo was in his phone. It came into his phone somehow in December of 2017, and here we are 2 years later. There was no action on it whatsoever. And normally there's no action if somebody finds a photo in somebody's phone, if law enforcement does that. In this case, it was the very moment when Senator Fulmer was about to officially introduce a bill that would have stopped geoengineering and 5G. It was that very morning. And two men in black simply came into the state house. It was in Harrisburg, the state house. They lied about that on the charging document. And this was, in my view, a complete conspiracy, a complete lynch mob by Attorney General Shapiro and the governor of Pennsylvania, who first went to the Democratic leadership and said, hey, because of the severity of these charges. Now, by the way, there's no victim, as in the case of Plácido Domingo or Weinstein or Epstein, where there are countless victims, including child victims, who have come forward in an accusation. No, that's not the case here. There is no victim accuser. It was only because somehow law enforcement managed to find something in a phone that they had complete backdoor access to plant in that phone. In any case, so what the AG and the governor did is to go to first the Democratic leadership and tell them you have to pressure Senator Mike Fulmer to resign. Now, why did they have to do that? Because Pennsylvania Rule 35, it's a Senate rule, legislative rule, disallows that you can just make an accusation and remove a senator. Can't do that because you have to go through due process first. And only after that person is found guilty and indicted can that person then lose his or her leadership capacities. That is, if a person is a chairman of a committee or has other leadership roles, those leadership roles can be taken away. But still, even if indicted, that person is not removed from the Senate, you know, unless that person has to go to jail.
Right.
In this case, what they did was create a lynch mob, first of the Democratic leadership, then they got the Democratic leadership to go to the Republican leadership. And it was just two Democrats, two Republicans, and who knows what threat they launched at poor Pennsylvania Senator Mike Fulmer, who, by the way, always carries a Bible and two constitutions with him, and he will do what's right no matter whether he likes it or not. He obeys those rules. And they got him to resign the same day so that he not only had his phone seized and his email accounts taken, but he was no longer present in the legislature, so completely, in a sense, housebound. He bailed himself out of jail for $25,000 and is incommunicado.
So they got to him,
and it was a complete lynch mob, and I know because of the precise circumstances. He was hit. He had political hits on him the very three times that the bill that I actually wrote had some significant progress this year. There was a meeting of February 27th, and the next real business day thereafter was March 4th. He got hit. I think it was July 17th and 18th. We had a meeting, and then he was hit the very next day. In this case, we were about to meet with him at 11:30. And just before 11, the men in black came to the state house and removed him. And he had no idea why. And that's why when they said to him, you know, they apparently, they, according to the charging document, read him his Miranda rights and said, you know, you have a right to not speak. You have a right to have an attorney here. And he declined all those rights because, why? He thought he was completely innocent because he was. Mm-hmm. And so he spoke to them without an attorney present. And they tried to entrap him and say, well, you know, you obviously must have downloaded or uploaded this image. He never admitted to uploading or downloading any image. He said, well, if it's in my phone, it must have been received, but I don't know how.
Yeah, well, they're doing that to a lot of good folks, and it's what we talked about. All this is indicative of the fact that we are in the middle of a Bolshevik insurgency. That's what that's what this all points to. This is war.
Yes.
Okay, so we got to throw off all the trappings of a civil society, because you're not in that. You have an enemy who has established a beachhead within our country, and these Bolshevik communists are now making the move to take over the country. So this is war. So anybody that thinks that they're going to play by rules or recognize constitutional rights or recognize any form of decorum, whether it's in a courtroom or outside a courtroom, they're crazy. It's just not going to happen. The Bolsheviks don't work that way. That's why we find it repulsive, but that's business as usual for them. Business as usual. So, but Susan, I got another caller. If you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and take that. And if you want to jump back in, just give me a second.
Pray for Mike Fulmer. Thank you.
Pray for Mike Fulmer. Absolutely. And go read Senate Bill 1 and H.R. 1837. And again, works of treason within the government. So let's see if we can get Gary, see if I can get this thing to work. Gary, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Oh,
I had a hard time. They kicked us out, and then we tried to dial, and couldn't. And finally, we let it wait for a while, and we dialed, and were able to get back in. So they're messing with you.
Well, yeah, that could be. That could be. There seems to be a lot of kind of strange things happening with different cell phones. I've got family and friends who are not part of getting this message out. They're running into troubles here lately too. I don't know if it's on it's by design or whether it's just coincidental. It really doesn't matter. We keep jumping hurdles. If they throw a hurdle in front of us, we just keep right on going.
Yeah, until it's. It's terrible what's going on out there, but the one thing, there's two things I wanted to bring up. There's scriptural. Well, one's scriptural and one's the Constitution. The Constitution of the United States says this will be left to our prodigy. Okay? Prodigy means who wrote the Constitution? A bunch of old, nasty white men wrote the Constitution. And
right.
So their prodigy would be a bunch of other nasty whites. But they don't go by that. They say, oh, it's for everybody. No, it's not. Because it also states, I think it's in Deuteronomy 32, that he's going to send upon us because of our wickedness that is not a people. Who is that that is not? Because I've heard you guys talk about people. You know, who's that that's not a people that's here? That's upon us. They're not a people.
Mm-hmm.
So who are they? I mean,
aliens.
Yeah,
they're aliens. Okay,
they're brown. They're brown and black. The blacks were here. They were brought over here by the Jews. The Jews got them from the Muslims. The Muslims, of course, went in and bought them from the chiefs of those tribes. And so the Jews brought them over here, sold them to the farmers to pick the cotton. And of course, England was the one that was getting the cotton because that's what they wanted. And but they were never part of the establishment of the Constitution. Not one time were they. They were over there picking cotton, as we would say. And
right.
Then George Washington and all those that fought and died, a lot of the people, they're the ones who wrote the Constitution. But now it's been taken from us, and it's been, I mean, you guys were talking about the Second Amendment. It says you are not to infringe upon it. To infringe means you can't even touch it. But what are these congressmen talking about? You got that Cortez. My gosh, I don't know if you ever heard her. She's something else. She doesn't even belong being a congresswoman. She's not one of us. She's not part of our posterity. But yeah. Everything has gone bad. And like when you said we have to take it back, that's right, because it was stolen. And I think a lot of it was stolen during the Civil War. So I'd like to hear you guys talk about that a little bit, Pastor.
Well, it was stolen, and I want to get to a – you made a very good point here. And, by the way, Ralph has just sent in a thing, putting in a plug for Chaca Piedra, which is the Spanish name for an herb. It means stone crusher. For those who suffer from kidney or gallbladder stones and you want a natural product that will work just like hydrangea does to dissolve those stones, then Chaca Piedra, which is C-H-A-N-C-A, Chaca Piedra, P-I-E-D-R-A, I use it myself with great results, and Ralph apparently is doing the same up there, so it's a double witness for you. Again, you don't need to run to the medical doctor all the time. But back to what you were talking about, who are these invaders, these Bolshevik Jews? Let's go back to, again, this is Thayer's Greek-English lexicon. This is not a book written by identity people. This is a reference book. And in its discussion within that book, and I have a hard copy sitting on my shelf here, discussing the definition of the Greek word eudaios, which is Strong's number 2453, which is where we get the modern-day word Jew is put in our Bibles. It's actually eudaios in the Greek, and here's what it had to say as part of the description. The Apostle John, inasmuch as agreeably to the state of things in his day, he looked upon the Jews as a body of men hostile to Christianity, with whom he had come to see that both he and all true Christians had nothing in common as respects religious matters, even in his record of the life of Yahshua himself. Not only himself makes a distinction between the Jews and Jesus, but ascribes to Jesus and his apostles language in which they distinguish themselves from the Jews, as though the latter sprang from an alien race. Now, that's right out of Thayer's Greek-English lexicon. So, Christ and his apostles spoke in terms that they considered these people calling themselves Jews to have sprung from an alien race, that we have nothing in common with them. Well, so let me ask, Gary, as we learn about what the Jews have been up to for years and years and years and years, is that definition not true? We have nothing in common with these people, do we?
No, and that goes back to not a people. Now, I was asking the wife, and she says that means a nation.
Right.
You know, people are a nation. So now people, of course, could be every thing. But if it says it's not a people, that means it's not a nation of our nation. It's been
right.
Set upon us. I mean, what do you think all the Mexicans are? Our cousins? Not at all. You know, they're not of us. You know, the blacks, they're not of us. I mean, they like to say everybody come out of Adam and Eve. They're wrong again. They're talking junk. Adam had people look like us. Like, see, we were picked out of Adamites, okay, to be a family. In other words, there's other families out there that are Adamites, but we were Israelites, all right? And we were picked for a family for Christ. Okay, that's his family.
Mm-hmm.
And there is other Adamites out there. And they're not the blacks, and they're not the Mexicans, they're not the Indians, any of that stuff. But you start mixing everything together like a big pool, and next thing you know, you've destroyed the integrity of what God created.
Yep, I mean,
Adam was sent into the garden to make sure that didn't happen. But here, then Adam gets involved in it himself. It shows you the strength of temptation.
Amen.
And it's really sad because Satan's out there laughing his butt off.
Well, you know, our founding father said you cannot be ignorant and free. So we are to educate ourselves. We're to be aware. And we're not supposed to fall for the slick verbiage coming out of the mouth of the serpent people, the Nakash in the ancient Hebrew, that when they open their mouth, they're lying and they're spewing out smooth words, which, I mean, think about it. How did Nakash convince Eve that she could make rules for herself? He didn't say be in rebellion. He just said, did God actually say you couldn't do it? You can be a god unto yourself. You can make your own mind up what you want to do, Eve. You don't have to listen to those nasty, toxic, masculine white guys. You can do whatever the hell you want. I had an older lady in the community the other day brag about the fact that the world is being taken over by women. I felt like looking at her and going, what do you see good about this world to brag as women have risen to power? It's gone to hell in a handbasket. Okay, who were most of the people in that room when that Bolshevik Jew governor of New York praised that they can kill a baby outside the womb? Most of the people clapping in that room were what? Women.
Amen.
Women. Let me give you the dictionary definition of a nation. Okay, now this is the one definition that most people never recognize, but this is the original definition when you look into the Latin root of the word nation. A people who share common customs, origins, history, and frequently language, a nationality. And they give an example. Historically, the Ukrainians are an ancient nation which has persisted and survived through terrible calamity. Okay, nation is race, racial. You don't have a nation if you don't have the commonality of all the things that this definition talks about. And when they are destroying the white nation by getting us to fight with each other and destroying our institutions. This is a Bolshevik insurgency, okay? I hope people are smart enough to figure it out. The Bolsheviks are here, just as General Ben Parton told me personally, just as Colonel Don de Grand Pre told me personally, just as Colonel Francis told me from the Air Force personally. Okay, these are men I knew personally. Just as Major John Knight told me from California personally. So these are men who spoke into my ears. These were contacts. And then you go back to General George S. Patton and General Douglas MacArthur. All warned us that the communists never went away. The wall came down from Berlin. The wall came down because there was no difference on either side of the wall. And they wanted you to think that communism had died. No, it didn't. That's what the generals and the colonels and majors were trying to warn. No, the communists didn't go away. They just changed tactics. Okay, they're chameleons. They're deceivers. When one way isn't working, they'll try another tact. They saw what happened in National Socialist Germany, that a leader rose up. Okay, so why do you think they're doing to us today what they're doing? They don't ever want another Adolf Hitler to come to power.
Amen.
And take away their ability to rob and cheat and steal and rape and harvest organs and rip out the babies from the mother's womb and push degeneracy on us. They don't want a white man to rise up and get his fellow whites to stand against these Bolsheviks.
Right.
That's why they took over the media. That's why they took over the print, the televisions, the radio stations, so that they can denounce any white man who stands up. And the unfortunate thing is now we're flooded with these aliens, so they have no allegiance to the white man. They've got our women hating white men. They've got the children hating adults. The Jews brag about the fact that they are the world's revolutionaries and the authors of confusion and hatred. They are the ones, not you and me.
Pastor Dan, when you said entering confusion, that brings me back to Babylon. Christ entered confusion into Babylon. How? by changing the languages. They couldn't understand each other. Isn't that happening today in the United States? I was looking at the border thing, man, there's so many, it's written in so many languages, it's pathetic. The language of this nation is English, but they kicked that out. It's anything you want. You know, I can't understand Japanese. I can't understand Chinese. I can't understand Mexican. I can't understand any of that. But I can sure understand English, so they wanted to put it so I couldn't understand it.
Right.
It's confusion in this nation, and it's done exactly the way Christ says how he did it. He introduced different languages into Babylon, all of a sudden it confused them. So now Satan saw that, so now he's doing the same thing here. It's
right.
Really sad.
When you don't have those things in common, they've destroyed the nation because they've destroyed the things that make you a cohesive unit, a homogenous unit. Okay, diversity is not our strength. That's more Bolshevik bullshit. Okay, BBS, Bolshevik bullshit.
Pastor. Now okay. I'm gonna tell you something that happened to me about a week and a half ago. I was in a meeting, and there's these people want to come in and change the bylaws, and we were disagreeing with them, and then finally to do it correctly, they have to put it on the schedule, you know, for the next business meeting. So he went up to the secretary. Secretary, you know, the woman. This guy was using foul language, and he was being outlandish. And then I asked him, I said, well, what's the motion for? He told me to go F off. I said, wait a minute. What is the motion for? Then he told me to go F myself. And I told him I didn't know how to do that. He's going to have to show me. And then he told me to go F off again. In his conversation, he's called me a racist loud where everybody could hear it. They heard it out, you know, we're in the back room and out in the front is the business. There's business. He heard it out there. And this one girl was there in the meeting. She jumps back. She says, who's the racist? And of course, this guy points at me. He's a racist. So he said it three times. And so then she started, you know, coming at me, and she says, I have two black children. Are you better than they are? I said, I don't know. I says, I'll tell you what, I can't make any judgment. I says, you have to read. I only follow what the Bible says. You read what the Bible has to say about that. I says, as a matter of fact, read Deuteronomy 23:2, and then you come back and tell me, well, she ain't been back. Because she told me she was a Christian and all this stuff. Read Deuteronomy 23:2. A bastard shall not enter into the kingdom until his 10th generation. So he never gets to come in. How do you know that? If 10 generations is 400 years. So you go, if it was a white guy is a child of a woman that didn't get married, he's still white all the way through. How are you going to tell the difference? But if it's a mixed breed, you can tell the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
See,
yeah,
so...
Go ahead.
So... A lot of people say, oh, that means that's a child that's born out of wedlock. I said, well, how can you tell that 400 years later, let alone 2,000? You can't. But you can if it's a mixed breed, because you see them running around, they have brown skin, they have all this type of stuff. Okay, so you can tell.
Well, it's just like when Cain was banished from the garden, there was a countenance put upon him so people could tell that he was banished. Well, how can you tell if it wasn't for something that you could see? Okay, so obviously there's a look. There's a look for people that aren't part of the tribes or part of our people, and it shows in the countenance of their face. And in the Jews' case, they got the snake eyes, and they have the countenance of doing evil.
And
what did Cain
say? Cain said, "They'll kill me," and Christ said, no, because he's going to protect them.
He's going to use them to test our people.
Yeah.
He allows them to exist until the time of Malachi 4 and Obadiah 18. There is a time when he's going to be done with these people, all right? And they will become stubble. Because why? Because they're a plague on mankind. Ralph wrote these in a couple comments. He says, we need a total world economic collapse to take away the Jewish money power. enough of this death by a thousand cuts. The fall of Babylon is the fall of the world economic system in the Jew banks.
And how does that happen, Pastor? How does the fall of Babylon happen? Through confusion. What's introducing confusion? Multiple languages. Here in the United States, especially here in San Diego, we're running all the time. They're speaking Spanish, Braghead, you name it. There are all kinds of languages here. Japanese, Chinese. It's,
But the fault is not the invaders that have been given a green light, okay? The fault is our people for not resisting this and for allowing interlopers to come in and convince us against our good nature, against our own common sense, against logic, against history, against the Bible, against our founding fathers. Everything these bastards have pushed on us goes against everything that we should know in our heart of hearts. Anybody that's read anything of Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, George Washington, Thomas Paine, and the rest of the founding fathers ought to know better. Anybody that sat through a real preacher's sermon should know better. Anybody that's picked up a Bible that's properly translated should know better. Anybody that's got any brain that functions at a level above an IQ of 85 should be able to figure it out. Okay? This is not rocket science. That's why the father said it's called the common law, because a five-year-old, when Alec de Tocqueville came to America to find out why America was succeeding when his home country of France was still struggling in Europe, he said part of the reason for this is the Constitution and the fact that they homeschool their children, and he could go up to somebody as young as 5 to 8 years old and they could tell him what the Constitution says, because they didn't fill their heads full of a bunch of BS about liberal arts and all this other bullshit. They put the things that mattered into their heads: how to read, how to write, how to do basic arithmetic, and the basics of our constitutional republic. Because if you don't know what's in the Constitution, how do you defend it? And if you don't know what's in the Constitution, how do you take an oath to uphold it? I'm going to ask all my public servants that question. So when you come before me on trial for the criminality, I'm going to ask you, what did you know? When you took that oath to uphold the Constitution, did you know it? If you didn't know it, then you're a liar and a deceiver. What is a liar and deceiver operating within government? A spy. You're no different than a spy. What's that?
Actually, they have a whole bunch of them there now. I mean, how did that Cortez, she doesn't know the Constitution. She's damn Mexican. What the hell is she doing there?
You know why she's there. She was an actress, and she applied for a job as an actress. And some Jews gathered her into a room off to the side and told her, look, we're going to make sure you're covered. You don't have to worry about being responsible for any idiotic thing you say. We got money, we've got power, and we'll protect you. And she said, damn, that sounds like a good job. I can be just as ignorant and stupid as I am, and you're going to protect me? Yep, you're exactly what we want. As long as you do what we say on certain key things and you keep mouthing what we tell you to mouth, you're covered. I mean, it's the same thing they offered Obama. Okay? The guy was a moron. A dope-smoking moron. Okay? Same thing. Hey, Obama, come here. Or Barry, or whatever the frickin' name he went by back then. Barry, come here over here, buddy. Look, you're not going to be anything in this world. You're just a washed-up homosexual black, half-Jew. You're not going to be anything, okay? You're too damn stupid. However, if you're willing to play ball with us, we're going to put your name on legislation that you don't know anything about. We're going to get you elected to the Senate. You're not going to do a damn thing while you're in there. Just stay out of the press as much as you can. And we're going to put you in the White House. What do you think, Bubba? And we're going to put a bunch of money in your pocket and the rest of the perverts in your family. Well, what black guy's not going to go, hey, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I can be a coke-smoking nobody and never amount to a hill of beans, or I can go sit in the White House because these Jews will put me in there.
Yeah, it's really sad. Money has taken the place of the Holy Spirit. What are you going to pray to? Money. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit, you pray to money. And it's like you were saying earlier in the program, you know, what's tax? They tax income, not labor, you know, or any of that. They tax income. Income comes from, like, if I got a duplex and I'm making money off of the duplex, that's income.
Yep.
Not when I go over there and dig a ditch and they give me some money and they want to take part of that. When they do that, that's called slavery. So when they achieve the goals of Martin Luther King Jr., okay, that sort of put the cap on slavery, because all that did was make us equal with the blacks. Did nothing, you know, for us at all. All it did was put us into total slavery.
Yep, so, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I've got some other guys with comments here, so... Was that all you had for right now, Gary?
That's it.
Okay, well then.
I'll turn you back. I'll turn the phone off and put you back on the TV or the computer.
All right. Yahweh bless, buddy. Yahweh bless. Yahweh okay, bless. We'll go to our next caller here. Okay, Randy, can you hear me?
Yeah, my cell phone had dropped. I'm back on now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then I'll see what Henry's got here. Henry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah,
okay.
I love it when Gary is on your show. I find him very, very funny. I would just say one thing to Gary, though. He gets accused of being a racist a lot, and I can understand the stupidity of the people who say that to him. I kind of circumvent that with people now when I get into conversations about politics, religion, and what's going on in the world. I call myself openly a racialist, and that's because I'm proud of my own race. And if anybody has a problem with that, stick it.
Mm-hmm. Racialist, yep.
Right?
Well, here again, we got to go back to the old nursery rhyme. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Okay, when I was a boy, everybody knew that nursery rhyme, okay? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Okay, we've become cucks. We've become effeminate. We're sitting here, we're supposed to be men, and we're sitting around going, oh, they might call me a name, and
right.
I don't want my neighbors to think that I'm this or that. Who gives a damn?
Yeah.
Who gives a damn what the uneducated morons that walk this earth, who cares what they think? Now, the Jews think that they're going to turn them into a mob coming after us, just like they did Christ, okay? They are the Christ killers. Whether they like being called that or not, it's the truth. The Bible says so, okay? So what did the Christ killers do? Well, they don't have enough guts to do it themselves. They manipulate the system to where they put the pressure on Pontius Pilate and the Romans to do the dirty work. But even with that, Pontius Pilate had a way out. He said, wait a minute, it's customary that two men condemned to death on such and such a holiday, you can pick one of them to be set free. And they were so afraid that Barabbas would be executed and Christ would be freed that they got the uneducated, mindless mob to start screaming, give us Barabbas, and crucify Christ, okay? They're doing the exact same thing today. Who are Christ's sons? You and I are. We're his progeny. So they want the mob out here to cry, crucify the white toxic male. I got news for you. I ain't going anywhere. And neither are the other white stallions, because we have a job to do. We're here for a purpose.
Yep.
And we're not going anywhere. So you call us any damn name you want. You do whatever machinations come to that perverted little brain of yours. You put it up there. I'm going to tell you something. Our Father in heaven is laughing from his throne. He's got stallions down here. They haven't been shown yet. They're below the radar screen. They're getting ready. They're loading up their magazines. They're sharpening their knives.
Yeah,
they've got their night vision scopes out there, and they're keeping lists.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think the only difference between today, I think what happened when they, you know, after World War II, was they realized that Germany was probably the last place on Earth where you had an entire, pretty much an entire nation that stood for all the right principles, and they realized how powerful that could be. So that's why, that's obviously why not only was Germany defeated, but the atrocities committed against the entire country and even the civilians, the women, the children, old people, everything, post 1945 was just, if people only knew what they did to that country, it would just make you sick. But that's why they did it, because Germany represented something that, I think they thought that once they did that, they'd probably, because the rest of the world is, they would probably unleash this multiculturalism, which they have done, and so forth and so on. Germany was the last organized country that stood between them and their ultimate hegemony against the rest of the world. But like you just said, we're in pockets, and they have no idea, but Yahweh does. And going back to a couple other things you mentioned, going back to Genesis, I mean, this silly fairy tale that Adam was the first man. I mean, I don't know if you believe that when the references to the beasts of the field were, but I actually believe that that's the other races that pre-existed white people for tens or maybe even hundreds of thousands of years. I think archaeological evidence proves that white people have not been on this planet very long. I think it actually lines up with the biblical account. I think it's about 8,000 years. I could be wrong, but it seems to me that it coincides with the scriptures and the lineage of Adam through the Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so forth. So it's pretty clear when you logically look at it that the scriptures were written for us. And by the way, the greatest two documents ever written were the Bible, even though it's been bastardized by Jews mostly, and the Constitution. So, and those, both of those documents were written for, by, and for our people. Bible was written for Adamic man only. And this belief that we all came from Adam is just such nonsense. I don't think it's, the vast majority of people are never going to understand that. And so the job's been well done by the Jew, but it's our book, and it was for us only.
Amen. Well, the good proof of that is the fact, what languages was it written in? Was it written in Swahili? Was it written in Mandarin Chinese? Was it written in block Hebrew Yiddish? No. It was written in the language that the white people spoke.
Yeah.
Which started out as Phoenician Hebrew, and then that became Greek, which became Latin, which turned into the modern languages. Okay, so it was always printed in our languages. So it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Say that it's for everybody.
You know what the stupidest thing I hear, and it's pretty common now on the internet, is this black Hebrew movement. Boy, oh boy, you want to talk about stupidity. Huh?
Of course, of course.
Wow.
That one is so easy to debunk.
Oh,
I look at it this way. There's only two groups of people, no, we'll say three, that would espouse the theory, okay? Jews, of course, because they're revolutionaries and they like chaos and they want racial tension. Ignorant blacks, and then ignorant everybody else. Okay, so all three of those groups are not my friends. So anybody that's espousing that, you walk away from them, because they're dumber than rocks.
Oh yeah,
they're either part of the insurgency or just plain stupid.
That's what they do. Yeah.
Okay, so you walk away from them because they're never going to, they're part of that group of 100 that we just talked about that the Greek philosopher said, okay, out of that 100, 80 are targets. That's what those guys are.
Yeah.
I call them
yeah.
rocks. Okay,
that's
because
exactly.
They're not going to help you. They're not going to hurt you. They just take up space. They're rocks.
Yeah, that's the best way to look at it. I actually engaged with one of them once, just for a moment, and I did exactly what you just said. It's just I realized immediately, how on earth am I ever going to get through to this ignorant, stupid black person? Why should I waste my time? And to the point where that black idiot actually called me brainwashed. At that point I just said, just depart from me. I can't even respond to you. Just forget it. Just go away.
You should have looked at him and said, you know what? It takes a brain to be brainwashed, so you don't have anything to worry about. Okay? So they don't have one. They don't have the mental capacity for that. And all you got to do is go to the Aboriginal blacks of Africa and ask them what they think of the white of the partial black population in the United States. They don't want anything to do with them.
Right.
Okay? Typically. I've heard that from many people over the years that have lived in Africa. The indigenous blacks, the ones that stayed pure and stayed in their own country, they don't want anything to do with the blacks from America. Because they know they're troublemakers. And typically they're ignorant. They don't know. Just like James David Manning, that preacher from Harlem, he says it all the time. What's the matter with you people? Okay? What's the matter with you people?
Right. Yeah, he's the exception though, certainly not the rule. But
we have again what we read about the Greek philosopher, okay? Out of 100 people, 80 of them you can just throw out the window right out of the bat. Actually, 90 of them you can, because it said 10% of that 100 don't even belong there. They're either simpletons, they're cowards, they're cucks, they're drunks, they're bums. 10%, throw them away. Okay, now you got the rest of them, 80 of them, are going to be rocks. We want the 10% that are fighters and warriors. That's who we're after right now. So forget the whole idea that we're going to educate the masses. Forget it. It's never going to happen.
Yeah,
okay. When Christ sent the disciples out, what did he say? Did he say go to the masses?
Nope.
Who did he say to go to?
Lost sheep.
Yeah. He said seek out what? That which was lost, the lost sheep. He said specifically, don't go in the way of the Gentiles, meaning non-Israelites.
Yep.
He specifically said that.
But Dan, aren't the Gentiles the white people? You're confusing me now. Oh, gee. I don't know what to think anymore.
Well, the Gentiles are a made-up word, just like the word
kidding.
Jew is.
Exactly.
Right. He was saying, don't go to the non-Israelites.
Exactly.
The people that are not of the promises. And Christ himself said, I'm here for the lost sheep of House Israel. That's only one group of people. One group of people ever in the history of the world.
Yep. That specific Bible verse, I don't know how you can be any clearer. I don't know how. I never heard that Bible verse all the years, 30 years ago, whenever I was still going to Judeo-Christian churches. I don't ever recall that Bible verse ever being spoken of course, because they strategically avoid the ones that, you know, contradict everything they're teaching. So.
Amen to that. Let me give you, you just brought up the verses that you never hear. Here's one of my favorites that I love. I love giving this to my family and friends, too, the ones that think they're so pious. Okay, I said, when's the last time in your Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, whatever church, when's the last time you heard this verse? Luke chapter 19, verse 27. And I'm going to read it out of this version. But bring those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them here and kill them before me. Those are red letter words of Messiah.
Amen.
Red letter words of Messiah.
Yeah.
Okay? So explain that one to me, all you pansies.
Really?
And all you Jew-loving Judeo-Christian fakes out there. Explain that one to me.
Yep. What was that? Luke what?
That's Luke chapter 19. Verse 27, it's one of my favorite ones to knock these pious, pompous asses right off of that pedestal. they put themselves on. Explain it to me, guys. It's plain in English, and it's even plainer in paleo, or not paleo, but Koine Greek. Okay? It's even plainer. Because people say, well, Dan, he meant that spiritually.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's
really?
It.
Well, that's funny, because in the Greek language, those are not spiritual terms. They're literal terms. Bring those that would not that I reign over them and kill them before me. It also could have been interpreted, execute them. Okay?
Yep.
Again, it gets back to who brings law and order on this earth? The white man does. All right? People don't want to hear that, then you're a brainwashed idiot. I don't even care if you listen. I don't care if you don't like me. You're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. Again, the solution will be in the 10%.
Right.
1 out of 10 will be part of the solution.
You essentially just boiled it down to what the big problem is, what our preachers, our so-called Christian teachers, is that they're, instead of doing Yahweh's work, which would be regardless of popularity or consequences, teach the truth to his people, okay, and don't worry about growing your church, when in reality it's the complete 180 opposite. All they're concerned about is universalism, bringing more people in, control, money, etc., etc. And I think a good portion of them are probably possessed by Satan himself to lead us astray. So, and they'll answer for it someday. And I hope I get to see that.
Yeah.
I'd like to. I hope I do. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ralph writes in here, a second witness to what Pastor Dan's talking about. In Gideon's army, only 1 out of 10 made the first cut. And out of the rest of them, another 1 out of 10 made the final cut. So he ended up with only 1 out of 100. And that's, again, in the book of Numbers, Gideon, when he went to fight the Midianites. So he ended up with 99% of his original army, which was over 10,000. he ended up with only 1 out of 100 that he went to battle with, basically 300. So, we have a precedent to go by as we go forward, and that's that the men of Yahweh never are the majority, never back down, stay strong, stay focused, stay with each other, and don't get caught up in what the heathen are doing. It's just like the days of Noah. We were told it will be as in the days of Noah. Well, okay. What was Noah and his family dealing with on a day-to-day basis? The same things we are. A bunch of pagan, knot-headed people who wanted to have sex with animals, have sex with their own sex, transgenderism, homosexuality, every perversion you could imagine, child murder, consuming child, young blood. They got into everything that you're hearing about here today. So we're reliving the same thing the ancient people of ours went through. Noah, the Israelites at times, everybody, okay? Joshua, everybody, King David, Solomon, same thing, okay? Over and over and over, we have this same issue. And we can't get caught up in focusing on what these heathen are doing around us. We need to stay focused on who we are and the path to our success. It's just like that old saying, if you want to see a change in this world, then be the change. Stop thinking about your neighbors and what everybody else should be doing. What are you personally doing? What are you doing? That's the same words of Christ when he looks at you. I'm knocking at your door. Those verses are talking about you as a person. I'm knocking at your door. Are you going to let me in? Are you going to let me in to consult with you? Are you going to listen to the Holy Spirit? Are you going to be energized to do something for the white race to save it? Or are you going to let this world go to hell? Because that's the only alternative.
Are you willing to listen to something that makes sense? Or are you going to just hold on to your fictional, stupid beliefs that the Judeo-Christian preachers have brainwashed your entire life? That's, unfortunately, most people. I think most people, if they stumble or come upon the message of identity, a true Christian Israel, that's what I refer to it as, they just reject it instantly because it's like it's just not going to be popular. Well, so be it. That's what
I say. It's always been that way. Okay, yep. We've never been popular. When the world thinks you're popular, you better be careful.
And that's exactly right. And I think that's the way that's the way it's going to be at the end too. So it's almost validation as far as I'm concerned. I'm glad it's not popular. In that sense, not glad that a lot of humanity is going to, you know, be destroyed, but glad in the sense that that's what he said the way it's going to be. And I was fortunate enough to be either predestined or however that works, but I know this message was for me. I know it's right, and I know it's true, and I know it backs itself up, and so be it. So that's it. I'm about out of gas here, so I'll just probably repeat myself. I'll just I just want to just reiterate one thing to anybody who doesn't get it as far as the Bible. It was written for Adamic man only. It wasn't written for all races. And because of the bad translations that were intentionally put in to mislead true Christians as to our identity, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to perish because of it. And it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, amen. So, well, thanks a lot, Henry, for calling in and being part of the program.
All right, yeah, thanks a lot. And now I know how to get in and talk to you again. That's good because I've kind of lost touch. But I'll use the laptop from now on and praise Yahweh.
Yep, praise Yahweh. Take care, bud.
You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for the day. A lot of things going on. There's a lot of things happening in the news. Some of it's not accurate, but again, pray for discernment. Understand that we're part of Yahweh's plan. When it says Halagos was from the beginning and it was with Father, yes, your English Bibles typically translate Logos, where we get the word logic from. They translate it as word, okay? And then they try to tell you that your Bible, the thing that was created by the Catholic Church, is the, quote, word. However, that's not what our ancestors believed. That's not what the Greek is telling you. It's telling you the plan, because a plan requires what? Thought, logic. And so to the Greeks, whether it's a word spoken or a plan spoken, they both require intelligence. And so from the beginning, our intelligent designer, our intelligent creator, put the plan together. And the plan was, down through the ages, for everything to happen exactly as it was. Why all these things happen? Because the first thing a lot of people say is, well, why did he let this baby die? Why? Well, first of all, he does not step into the middle of every little minutia of your life and our lives as a people. Remember, the book was written, the rules were written, the plan was put together for a group of people. So sometimes individuals may suffer outside of that plan, but how many times do we bring it on ourselves? Okay, how many of my friends and relatives have I lost to cancer and to other diseases that are easily preventable? How many times did I lose them to drug overdose or violence when it was easily preventable? And somehow that's our Father's fault. I don't look at it that way. If you're in obedience to the Father, you're doing everything that he told you to do, and then something happens to you, now you have a bitch. Okay, now I would argue with the Father about Psalm 91 and why my protection was not there. But what I've noticed over the years, and I'm passing this on to you because we're about ready to enter a period of time where this is crucial. Our safest haven, our greatest protection, is not in the force of arms, not in who we know, not in our family, not even in ourselves. Our greatest protection is in our relationship to the Father. You want protection in this day when they've got all of these hideous things they can use against us? Read Psalm 91, the soldier's psalm, and find out where that protection is. Now, if you're not a believer, if you don't believe Father can protect you, well, then I guess just go your own way and we'll see how it works out. But if you are and you want that protection, then it's your duty to call upon his name and to call upon him, seek out his face, and in repentance ask for his protection from our enemies. There's your greatest salvation. There's your greatest hedge against the enemy in this day and age. And the enemy does not want you to use that because he cannot get past it. That's their biggest frustration. They've got all this money. They've got all these trinkets and all these toys and all these weapons. They've got the masses out there completely confused, and yet they know they still can't win unless you allow it by disconnecting yourself from the Father. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for the truth and wisdom that you've imparted to your children. We thank you for the prophets of old and for the disciples that walked with our Messiah. We thank you for Messiah himself as you in a flesh body, that you would come and walk amongst us to teach us and show us the way. That's why in ancient times, in biblical times, you were called the Way, not Christian. The Way, followers of the Way. You lead the way through truth and righteousness and sacrifice. You see, a white race has forgot what sacrifice means. Sacrifice for the benefit of our race and our family and our friends, amongst our family members. It doesn't mean I hate anybody when I want to protect my family. I don't hate other people, but if you are a threat to my family, you are my mortal enemy. Mortal enemy. Father, watch over us, guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. Give us good discernment, give us a stiff backbone, and always, Father Yahweh, we ask that you protect us from our enemies, and we ask all this in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah.